Hey, I'm making sure I'm recording down there. Yeah, hey, we're back. It's the final segment of Oktobercast 2012.
Bum.
Final 2 hours.
The final stretch.
We have 2 hours to go. Well, 2 hours and 6 minutes because we started a little bit late. And we play by the rules.
You're gonna maintain that commitment.
We play by the rules. I think we should go an extra 20 minutes.
Well, the rules of Gary's gone
to make
already.
Up for Gary's you know
the
rules.
No, the rules were at least two people must be. On the podcast at all times, two of the original three.
Medical emergencies are a perfectly acceptable buy.
Yeah, we're stretching the rules.
You're allowed to punish him next year for it, though. You can't punish him now. Like you can't.
I'm not going to punish him for a sick kid. That is some evil, bad karma that I don't want to get.
We're not going to make him go like 2 hours longer by himself next year.
Yeah, funny. We're going to make him do a whole episode of the normal podcast just by himself. We're going to lock him in a room, give him a microphone, tell him he doesn't come out until it's awesome.
He would probably have a good time. He would find a way to entertain himself.
That would be extremely popular, actually.
Man, you got a good night's sleep last night.
I did. Slept until like 11. Made the unfortunate decision to see Silent Hill Revelations 3D last night.
I want to hear about that. I also want to point out that last year, you were the last thing we heard at the end of Oktobercast, like footsteps, because you brought muffins in.
Yeah.
And then we cut off the
We were
the
trying
stream.
To get there in time. We were trying to be...
And we're just getting excited that the muffins were coming.
Yeah, we brought my wife who made the muffins.
And we left people hanging for over a year. The muffins were delicious.
Muffins were wonderful.
They're pretty
good. The muffins hit the spot in a powerful way in the wee hours of...
So what I'm really asking is, do you have muffins this time?
I don't have muffins.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Well, cool story.
I apologize.
We're here. It's Oktobercast. If you'd like to donate to Oktobercast, we are at $22,000 almost. Actually, probably more than that because we have some auction stuff going on. We've had a big burst in the last hour. This happened last year, too, as I recall.
That's how all this stuff works. Like Kickstarter, things like that. Like in the final hours, people kind
of
they up
a little
their
bit
donation.
Of that. And I think the push-ups.
The push-ups were a big boost.
It's not like sniping an auction.
We're going to get Joey's going to come in here
anytime. The money's the same. Just... no reason to wait. Just kick it right in.
Don't hold back. I mean, I think they like to make us sweat a little bit. Joey is going to come in a little bit. We're going to talk about the push-ups, gauge his mental state toward the last
Joey's
hour
gonna
of
come
the
in,
show.
Yeah, the very last hour. He is the ringer for Gary when Gary's not available, so it's actually very appropriate.
I've enjoyed that when Joey's on the podcast.
Oh, God, you listen to the podcast.
I do. Always,
people tell me that when I see them. They're like, we listen to in the industry. I'm like, wow.
Well, I run a lot, and so I listen to podcasts when I run. It's the only time when I enjoy long podcasts. I loathe the fact that our own podcast is 2.5 hours, 3 hours long.
Yeah,
because I never want to listen to them.
Yeah, no.
It eats up my entire day.
This is what we're talking about because there are
people love it, so we're gonna have a choice.
There are a lot of people who have really long podcasts, and then I also hear people go, "Boy, I can't stand those really long podcasts." And other people obviously love them.
It's very divisive.
I know we keep ours to around 40 minutes or so because our podcast room is this little room and
that
it gets
hotter
than hell.
Yeah,
we in there.
That.
And it's miserable.
That didn't stop us.
No, we still went for hours.
We're always like after 40
minutes.
Even
when mold was growing on the wall.
It was mold, it was salt.
Well, I know, but for a while we were pretty sure it was mold.
Yeah.
That's true.
That and just nobody has time. So, I mean.
Well, I split it up. Like, I only have a couple that are really long that I listen to. But I'm able to split it up because I bike to work, which is about 15, 20 minutes. So that encompasses like a lot of like the short NPR podcasts, like Planet Money, or you can like break up like This American Life
or
on the radio. Yeah. Like there are chunks, so you can kind of do them chaptered, and I can do that biking to and from work. And when I run, that's usually for like 30, 40 minutes. So if I do that like 3 times a week, you can kind of get through at least one. Really
now I need to discover some new good podcasts to listen to. So what are your favorites?
I was mostly into NPR stuff. This American Life, Radio Lab.
Radio Lab's awesome.
Love Radio Lab.
Recently, it's like in a bit of controversy, right? I haven't read up on it, other than it sounded like one of the hosts is being very aggressive.
It's, it's about the
war victim.
That's right. I remember that.
Among the genocide, or
right.
Alleged
and about
genocide.
The Yellow Rain thing.
Which someone accused
bee pollen. There's some good... reason to believe that there is, and that the things are caused by other things, but the way they were treating that woman
was unfortunate. Yeah,
I love that podcast. I wish they updated more often. But outside the NPR stuff, are there any good?
The Guts one was fantastic. If you don't listen, there were two podcasts this year that they did that were really good. The Guts one and the Alan Turing one were both really good.
Yes, those were the two I would say.
The Guts one was about a guy who had a stomach problem and basically couldn't eat solid food for a year or some incredibly long time. Hmm. And it was about the kind of mental, the mental damage that not, like, you don't think about it, because eating, yeah, putting things in your mouth and tasting them and then swallowing them, something we just do, like,
take it for granted.
Like, yeah, if you go to a nice restaurant, you sit down and you think about it. But if you're in a hurry at lunch, then you'll go grab something and just shovel it in while you're standing at your desk doing whatever else it is you need to do. And I had never thought about how damaging it would be to not eat for, like, an extended period. Right. Even a couple of weeks. Yeah, it seemed horrible.
Have a feeding tube and just not... Yeah.
Does your body just forget to do certain things? Like, it unlearns certain processes as a result?
Yeah, tastes get all messed up when you can finally eat again and all. It's some fascinating stuff.
It's called guts, I think, is that one.
Yeah, it's about that, and it's all about all the other stuff in your guts. There's several segments that
I was hoping it was going to be about organ meat, like the rise of organ meat in high cuisine, but it was much better than that would have been. So... that one was good. I started listening to Idle Thumbs again because those guys are bad.
Idle Thumbs is great. Idle Thumbs is great because it's a bunch of game developers talking about, like, very specific, like, developer-y topics.
In Far Cry 2.
Yeah. If you like grenades rolling down a hill, then Idle Thumbs is your podcast.
They're funny.
And, you know, we've recently had a nickname war with Idle Thumbs.
Yeah, because they have a Scoops, too.
Right. And I did not brand myself with the Scoops nickname. That was a community-given term separate from Idle Thumbs. But, you know, me and Fulbright, Steve Gaynor, the other hot Scoops, we have come to terms over the...
We could have settled beefs yesterday.
The resolution is just neither of us really give a shit.
Is that a capital S, lowercase s?
I thought it could be that. Like a rumble behind the CBSI building.
Well, what was really weird about the whole thing is that it happened independent of any of us really thinking about it, and then the Idle Thumbs started making some passive aggressive comments on their podcast about the idea that I had the name Scoops, all in good fun. And then we started making passive aggressive comments about Idle Thumbs and their podcast on our things. And at no point did either of us, our sides, acknowledge we're all totally cool with the color show. This is just a big joke. But the communities wildly misinterpreted it. And there was a point where I think specifically, like, in the Giant Bombs Something Awful thread, where, like, our community started getting really hostile to their community.
Oh, no, that's not good.
So the way we resolved it was the Idle Thumbs office that they got as a result of the Kickstarter is not too far from where I live in the Mission. So they bragged about having Scoops on as a guest, and normally that would mean Steve Gaynor would be on, and instead I went on, and we didn't acknowledge it at all. We just said, like, oh, here's our friend Scoops. And then I did a little bit with them. Funny. And that sort of cooled everything off in the communities.
If only Franz Ferdinand could have had the same effect.
they had a podcast.
Of 14.
World War would have been avoided.
I'm also listening to... do you guys listen to Good Job Brain?
No.
Yeah, that's Karen Hsu and Chris Kohler's trivia podcast. Yeah. I'm bad at trivia, so I can't get into that podcast.
Well, but it's not like you have to know the trivia. It's It's more like they're doing things and having quizzes, and you just learn stuff. Oh. But you learn wacky, fun... weird trivia.
Apple's really gotten behind that. Yeah, like, they've been promoting that podcast pretty heavily.
It's kind of pub trivia is the hook there, and they do all these little quizzes, and they research weird topics and have makeup quizzes and stuff like that. And it flows really fast, and you end up learning, like, oh, I never knew that. A whole bunch of that. It's really good.
I've been listening to... I should look at the list because I've got a lot of stuff on
NPR on the radio. It's not available as podcasts, and there are apps that I've been looking around that you can, like, kind of DVR, like, record.
It always bothers me, like, when they'll, like, I follow, like, NPR on Twitter, and then they'll link to segments that aired on the radio, but they're like, oh, come back in 6 hours when it's up here on the site. Right. I was like, well, why did you make a database entry for it when I can't listen to it yet?
You know, right. I started listening to Decode DC. Which is it's a political reporter who used to work for NPR.
Oh, is this the one who left?
She left, and she was
on the media talking about how she didn't care. Like, she got tired of the. Oh, it's funny given all the stuff that's happening with the enthusiast gaming press brouhaha, but basically being tired of being so close with the people you
the
cover.
buddy nature and the bullshit. And this is about what DC is like, real stuff. It's not like dumb video game bullshit. It's I mean, you want some? Oh, by the way, we have some Doritos here.
I'm surprised you haven't opened them yet.
We've been getting they're too crunchy. We can't eat them on air. Are you kidding? We get slaughtered. You just oh no. Oh, the chat's gonna turn on you, Scoops. We should have gotten some Frito Scoops for you. Those are another fine Frito-Lay product.
NPR is All Politics is also a really good podcast.
Well, the nice thing about I've only listened to, there's three episodes so far. I've listened to two of them.
I should add the DC.
Short. They're like 15 minutes.
I'm gonna do that now.
So it's like
those are perfect. Like, I just like the chunk.
So my commute is entirely absorbed. Like, a week of Bombcast is almost exactly my commute,
right?
On an average week. And God forbid I fall behind because it's all over. Then I just have to start. I pick weeks when you talk about games that I don't care about and just skip wholesale. I think we have kind of reverse
Decode DC. That's
Decode
what it's
DC is what it's called. It's a mule radio thing. So I mean, there's pros and cons with that, but the content's really good. So that's my podcast diet these days. I need to find a good board game podcast, and I listen to Sword and Laser sometime when the book is something I'm into. I think
Veronica.
That's Veronica podcast, right? and Tom Merritt's thing on Geek and Sundry, and they do. So they're science fiction, and that's interesting as long as you're interested in the book and have read the book.
Yeah, I listen to one called Pseudopod, which is like, I'm really into horror, and Pseudopod is a bunch of like no-name amateur authors doing like short fiction stories like about horror that are all like, again, very digestible, like 15-20 minutes.
Did you watch both New Paranormal Activity and Silent Hill?
Yes. I also saw Sinister. I usually only pick one. Like, I usually only go see the New Paranormal Activity and then wait for the other ones.
What is the movie to watch on Halloween?
This year?
This year, or just in general?
This year.
What's your scary movie?
Well, maybe in general
the
also.
One, the one I've gone to every year on Halloween is Trick or Treat, which is an anthology that came out.
Like the Trick or Treat movies?
No. There's a movie called Trick or Treat, which is in the Creepshow style of three or four different stories. I think there's four or five stories. It came out a couple of years ago. It's really, really well done. Like, it is just as good. It is that very much Creepshow vibe of, like, it's kind of funny, but when it chooses to be scary, like, it can be really scary. It's really unnerving. So Trick or Treat is usually like my go-to.
Like a Drag Me to Hell style.
Yeah, like. It's very much in like Sam Raimi style of like, when Sam Raimi chooses to be scary, he can fuck you up.
Yeah.
But by and large, like, he's kind of skating that B movie, like professional B movie vibe.
So we talked about this the other day with Adam on Still Untitled, and
I was listening to that and on my way over.
Oh, fascinating. I hadn't really thought about it, because I'm not a huge horror guy. Like,
right.
I know this is your wheelhouse,
it is.
So I feel bad.
I have Shocktober, which is me and my wife trying to fit in 31 horror films.
That is
each October.
The only thing I've heard that's worse than that is the year of
Cage. Yeah,
different ones every year?
Yeah, I put a list up. I do a feature on Jive called Worth Reading, where I've been listed.
I
put the movies up there. And then if you go to pushthebutton.com, tumblr.com, it has the list from last year. But but we don't actually watch all 31. It's more of just an exercise. And can I come up with a list?
Yeah.
And then we try and watch as many of them as we can.
Or you put them on while you're doing something else.
So is the idea that they're all new every year, or that you every year?
Sometimes going back to classics. Like, we watched The Shining, which I hadn't watched in a while, and also I didn't get a chance to watch it. But is that documentary out?
Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay, the one about all the crazy conspiracy theories.
237 or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the reason I added it to the list, but I haven't watched The Shining yet.
Maybe it's on Amazon. It's someplace
that
I saw.
It's available.
I said, hey, what's room 237? And you said, oh, it's the thing about blah, blah, blah.
So I got to know before Halloween gets here, what's new on the list this year that are new movies?
Let me pull up the – I've got the list.
I mean, because I'm not a horror movie fan, but every now and then one is – like Cabin in the Woods, I can't say.
Well, so what do you like?
About, right?
Maybe I can go
really
from there.
It's not really scary.
What have you enjoyed?
It's not scary. No. It's a horror movie that – well, it's –
it's a meta horror
movie. Right. It's a genre movie, but it's – and it's about genre movies. My problem with horror movies is they don't – even the ones that are supposed to be scary don't scare me, and I end up just
it's
being
an incredibly subjective genre.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
That sort of
so
thing.
I like
when
ones...
you say a movie's scary, doesn't mean it's going to be scary for someone else, because it all depends
right.
on like,
so
fear.
I like the ones that aren't really scary so much as they have a wink and a nod and they're kind of funny and stuff like that. Right.
Hey, so we have a bidding war on the Stein of Science right now. If you want to bid, it's tips@tested.com, Stein of Science in the subject line. Put your bid in. The high bid right now is $410. There's about an hour and 15 minutes to go
on
that auction.
So Cabin in the Woods, Tucker and Dale versus Evil would be another good example
good things about
of
that's on Netflix.
Yes,
there's another one that's on Netflix called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, which is basically this kid who becomes obsessed with all the slasher creatures like Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger, and decides he wants to become one of them, but in real life. And it plays out, it's really goofy. And it's great because it also has a bunch of the actors who have played those different creatures in like bit roles.
Yeah.
They don't nod to it, but if you're a fan of the genre, like you'll definitely know like who's in there.
So as a somebody who's watched a ton of horror movies, like, are you capable of being scared by a slasher movie or something that like some of those movies are.
Or
I don't
want to
say predictable.
Found footage is absolutely the one that gets under my skin every single time. Like, okay. Even bad ones are capable of getting
to
me.
Like a Wreck or a...
Yeah, Wreck's great. Wreck 2 is really good. Wreck 3 is terrible because they ditched the found footage conceit and went to a traditional filmmaking style, and it just revealed that they're pretty bad filmmakers. And that found footage is a different bag of tricks. So it's, you know, just because you can do that doesn't mean that necessarily it's going to translate to
traditional filmmaking. You put the camera in a weird place and it just kind of works itself out.
But it all comes from the Blair Witch Project deeply scarred me. That came out, I think, when I was 16. And, sorry. Jesus, but I had to contextualize it in that
16, seven, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm turned 28.
Okay, I'm 27. So yeah, it's about the right age. And
when did that movie come out? 94 or something?
Something like that.
No, 98.
You and I are the same age, more. No,
more
you're
or
younger
less.
Than I am.
Came out 99.
You turn 38 this year or next year? Or last year?
What?
When did you turn 38?
This year.
Yeah, so you're about 9 months older than I am.
Okay.
99. Yeah. Came out 99.
And at that time, the concept of viral marketing didn't exist. There was no term.
Well, that was
radio ads.
And a website. They had a website for that movie.
Right.
Dude, and having a website for that movie was a huge thing.
Yeah. It was. The website was extremely well done. There was a companion documentary, in quotes, that went alongside with the movie that was aired on Sci-Fi Channel that built up
science
the...
Science fiction, I think you mean.
Was that what it was called at the time?
It was, was it SCI still?
It was SCI, yeah.
SCI.
That went into sort of the backstory of Burkittsville. And you can find it. You have to kind of... There's no legal way to get it anymore. Like, they've never, like, released it in a proper...
They didn't
proper
put that as,
sense.
Like, a DVD extra or
I don't think so. Yeah. At least not in the last one I bought.
Well, there were all sorts of, like, weird diary pages and stuff on a website.
They did this amazing job of building it out. And you have to imagine, like, at 16, when they were pitching it as, like, this is based on a true story, like, I bought it. Like, hook, line, and sinker.
You were in.
Like, yeah. I think, intellectually, as much as a 16-year-old can think intellectually, that there's no way that they would be selling this documentary about where these kids die. Like as like a ticket price,
you were also
but I was able to buy into it enough, and that's what the found footage genre does when it's done well. Is it allows you to get into
not
that moment more so than traditional.
Not like the Mila Jovovich one, where she says up front, "This is based on a true story," but it's not.
Oh, that's the fourth kind.
Yeah,
but that, which has a couple of unsettling moments, but isn't very good.
The thing is that found footage thing was also hitting at a time when people were really freaked out about reality TV,
right?
And like. We weren't sure that if somebody died during the real world, they wouldn't have just gone ahead and run it and been like, yeah, right. And then Puck died and they sent his body down the hill on a skateboard.
Yeah.
You know, so like it was reality. There was a time when reality TV wasn't just dumb. It was also dumb and controversial.
Right. Yeah.
So
because it wasn't necessarily socially accepted. It was just sort of this new thing that was popular.
And, yeah. And you were just like, why am I watching this show about these stupid 20-year-olds but everybody was doing it.
I still feel that way when I flipped to Jersey Shore by accident.
Well, just MTV in general, Jesus. But that's a whole other conversation for a different day. What's the scariest thing? What's your scariest movie? This is a big. And do you find games scarier than movies? Like, there's a lot.
Yeah, I find games to be
games are. I can't play scary games.
So the reason, I've explored this a couple of times when I've talked to developers that work on scary games, and my conclusion. But why game? If you like scary stuff and if you are capable of putting down your defenses, you kind of have to. Like, you can watch a scary movie and laugh at it, and if you have to choose to let a movie scare you. Like, you have to put your guard down. You have to kind of want to get into the moment, and you can disarm any scary movie. Like, that's why when you go to see like Paranormal Activity, like I want to see it in a theater. But it's also, if you get the wrong audience, like, they're going to ruin it. Like, if they're making fun of it and laughing, like, there's no way to get into that moment if other people are breaking it for you.
Yeah, defuse it.
Yeah. A scary game can make you feel personally vulnerable.
Because in games, so in the movie, you can close your eyes, you can walk out of the room, you can plug your ears, the movie keeps going.
Right.
In the game, the conclusion is only arrived at if you as the player engage with it and move the character, take out the enemy... get through the house. So I think that is the actual interaction with the avatar.
It's a haunted house, but you have to actually walk through all of it.
Absolutely.
And you have to do it with your eyes open. I mean, for me, So I have a good friend of ours, Logan Decker, said, hey, you've got to play this game. It's an Xbox game. I was like, I have an Xbox. I can totally play that. It's called Fatal Frame. It's about a little girl who has a camera, and she just has to go through this ghost house. I was like, fucking piece of cake. I'm gonna put this in. I'm going to be like, oh, okay, take a picture of the ghost. Oh, it's like Casper. This is, Japan's so funny. And I made 5 minutes in. I got the second room of that game. I was like, no, Fuck this game. I am out of here. This is... Why would anybody do this to themselves?
I feel like that about it.
You know, in Horror House...
Amnesia, I didn't even... I looked at that on Steam, and I was like, I got it as part of a bundle with some Humble Bundle stuff or something. I was like,
if you want to have fun, though, there's great YouTube videos of reaction videos of Amnesia. Videos not showing the game, showing people playing Amnesia and freaking out.
People have been doing that with... that's a whole popular series. Yeah. People have been doing that with Slender, which is another popular one.
Yeah,
which
Comedy
is,
Gold.
It's like the photos from the haunted house.
Yeah.
That Flickr account is amazing.
And that house, if you say the safe word, they will escort you out of the house so you don't have to finish it because they know at a certain point.
I've never done any of those. Like, I feel like... I like scaring myself in this passive sort of way.
Where you know you're safe.
Which is, it's a game. And there's a barrier. But I've never actually gone, I mean, there's none of them in San Francisco. San Francisco is notoriously bad. If you actually even want to go to any of these haunted houses, like they have...
Explain what we're talking about here, because I don't know.
Okay, so these are basically like, I don't know if there's a term for it. I'm not familiar enough to know. But like, they're basically extreme haunted houses. These aren't just... You go through, people are jumping out at you.
The Mountain Dew guys are in there, and they're snowboarding down the...
These are meant to like be deeply, deeply unsettling.
Oh, okay.
They're very elaborate. Oftentimes, you have to go through by yourself.
Like, confusing and scary, so you can get lost.
Feel like you will.
Yeah, there's some, like, in Pennsylvania that involve you, like, eating things. Yeah. Like, they put you in these places where, you have to have safe words because... Like, you could be in a place where, like, you're actually going to have, like, some sort of weird breakdown as a result.
But when you leave the safe word, they'll give you a token, a little chicken token. So you can always come back and say, I want to finish it.
Yeah.
I don't think those are redeemed very often.
Yeah, I've never taken that step. I'd like to at some point, but I like having the, you know, once I've finished with the scary game, I can go lay in my bed with my wife.
It's not the ring.
It's
not going to come out of the
key.
Yeah.
Hold me.
The scary games need a safe word key that you could hit.
It's called the Xbox button.
It'll stop the game, and like unicorns and rainbows will come out for a minute and just calm you down.
Amnesia. I didn't know what Amnesia was when I downloaded that, and I was like, oh, I got all these other games, and I got this thing. I might as well. And that was about a 5-minute thing for me.
Yeah,
too.
No,
that
it's like you get 10 minutes.
Terrifying.
Yeah, I made it through that. I feel like that's one of the first times where I wanted to buy a T-shirt that says I have finished Amnesia: The Dark Descent.
Scary games where they give you guns. I don't understand.
Well, what was it?
Well, there's some like Dead Space.
Dead Space is an action adventure.
There's a difference. There's tension, and then there's scary. And Amnesia, Fatal Frame, those games are scary, and they're largely scary. Condemned is great. And Condemned, you actually can
especially
fight
the
back.
First one.
Yeah.
The first one especially.
The first one's way scarier than the second one. But like once you start giving some people assault rifles, you don't feel like something jumps out at you and you get startled by it jumping out at you, but then you're like, I'm going to kill you.
Well, it's because you're empowered. And like
you're empowered.
Right,
and then
that's how
Amnesia gives you
muzzle
a
flash.
Shitty lantern. Like a shitty, not even a good lantern, a shitty one.
And never enough oil.
Never enough oil, and you feel
and you
something
can't, and you can't fight the creatures. Like you'll be hiding in a closet, and it's bashing on the door, and all you can do is hope that it was the fucking
Slenderman, too, for that matter.
Slenderman's great.
All you can do is hope that it'll go away. Yeah. That's terrifying.
I know.
It is.
It's in a game.
Amnesia's the Penumbra Overture guys, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that game was terrifying, too.
Yeah, and their next game has such a great title. Well, the Amnesia guys specifically are working on Frictional Games. They're working on a sci-fi first-person non-combat horror game. But they're doing a sequel to Amnesia with the guys that made Dear Esther. I don't know if you played that
or
not.
Yeah.
Which is also a first-person, non-combat, like very environment-focused game. And it's called Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs. It's just a gross...
That's a terrible
name. Such a gross name! And, like, I guess the creatures in this are now pig-based, which you can just imagine all the awful, awful things they can do with that.
That's a great one for hour 23 if you're...
Yeah, man, I'm going to... Like, all I want is go to sleep,
really,
but no, I don't. Now I'm scared.
Well, I've been doing this feature... like, at Giant Mom, you know, we like to do the premium features, and the one I've been doing the last couple of weeks is called Spookin' with Scoops, which is where I sit in my apartment and I play games...
Trademark.
Yeah, based on, you know, our current legal battle with Idle Thumbs. We'll see how it shakes out. And I play these games kind of like these people that do it on YouTube, and I try and basically just freak myself out in my apartment by myself. But then do it with the community. And then we, you know, work with the community to pick out some of the games.
It debuted on the Big Live Live show.
Yeah, it didn't work that well there because, again, it's why I wanted to just to experiment with it and just say, hey, I'm going to do this. So the Big Live show is a good time to just kind of experiment with those ideas.
Committing time.
Exactly. And, but yeah, you have to be in the right environment, which is I'm at my apartment. It's like 11 p.m. The screen fills up, so you forget the fact that, you know, there's whatever, like 800, 1,000 people watching you do this dumb thing from your apartment. But then you can actually kind of get in the moment. And I always conclude each episode by playing Slender, which as many times as I played it, still maintains to freak me out every single time.
So of those 31 movies that you've picked out for this October, how many of them are foreign movies?
Most of them, because I've gotten to the bottom of the barrel on, like, horror from like that's native to the U.S. Also, foreign horror is just better the last couple of years. Like, Wreck is a great example of that. I watched one called The Children, which is a 2008 French film, which they shot in French and English, which is weird. The one that I acquired ended up being the English one, but you can tell that it's not 100% natural. It's a very traditional horror story of kids that get infected and then start murdering their parents, but it's a modern one, and it works pretty well. Let me see if I can... I have my list here.
Are these on Netflix?
No, not the majority. Netflix has a pretty poor horror library. They have a good amount of, like, if you haven't seen a lot of the big ones, like, they have a decent library.
Like, the right one in and stuff like that?
Yeah, like, there's stuff in there, but, like, if you've seen most of, like... Like, whenever if I do a search for, like, top 100 horror films, like, I've seen everything on that list. Like, that list doesn't help me at all. Okay. And all of those movies are usually being compiled, or those lists are being compiled, so you can have easy access to them on Amazon Video or Netflix. So a lot of these are usually me having to go on eBay and, like, tracking down, like, weird region DVDs and stuff like that. But horror is actually the only collection I have. Like, I've gotten out of collecting movies because if I want to watch anything,
it's a recurring theme today.
I can just get them on demand on any countless number of services. But horror, because it's like such a big part of my life, when people come over, I want people to see, like, the, you know, clearly this is one of my interests.
Your shrine.
Yeah, like I treat my collections as a way that's, you know, rather than it's a collection, it's like a reflection of my taste. So you get like a
What collections always are, right? I mean, this is the essence of Patrick in disc form.
Exactly.
In addition to horror movies, you are a renowned...
Patrick, I just want to say, before we'll continue, is that we did... This is our 23rd hour.
Mm-hmm. 23rd hour.
Of this podcast.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting 23 hours.
I've been waiting way longer than that. I've been waiting since last Wednesday.
I've been waiting... From the beginning of this podcast, yes, Will, you've been waiting longer on everyone.
I have,
but since the beginning of this podcast, since the beginning of this podcast, I've been waiting for 23 and a half hours for this moment.
Okay, I have a feeling I have a sort of know what it is, but I'm not going to give it away.
Okay, so I would like you to look around the room,
all right,
and see if there's anything that is unusual or of interest to you in this room. As a purveyor,
should it be behind me?
It could be anywhere in the room. There's a lot of stuff behind you. There's a lot of stuff in front of you. Most of the stuff in front of you is stuff from the old office, so you've probably seen that. But it's more, I would say, behind you. If we were playing warmer, colder. I mean, you like Star Wars, right? That is a thing on the wall that may be of interest to you.
What is it?
Well, look at it and you tell me.
It looks like a hatch.
It's an artifact of some sort. It's a thing from a thing or something.
It's a hatch
something.
From Lost?
Well, it doesn't look like the hatch from Lost. Does it have numbers on it? What are the numbers? Everybody's giggling in the other room.
They're giggling, I know. I was going to say.
I don't know what this is. I feel like I'm failing.
It looks like an airplane window or something.
That's an interesting note.
Is that from the Oceanic flight
815? That is from 815. You can touch it. That is a real window from the model prop on, I believe, the pilot.
Oceanic one of the most depressing moments of my life was when they sold all the props from Lost, and I was looking at them online because you could purchase them, even things as like random T-shirt from episode 112 went for like $5,000.
Oh, you want like a can of food.
So is this one of those things that's a perk of working with Adam and Jamie?
One of our coworkers in the production company out of LA that bought us, and I don't know how public we should make this stuff, is was involved with the creation of Lost.
It's very public. It's in the name of the company we work for.
Yeah,
but and there have been books written about it.
Okay, so anyway,
you don't have to name names or anything.
Yeah, so among other things, out of the production of Lost, he got a window, and he was like, "Oh, that would look awesome up here on your set wall." So he sent the window up last week, and I was like, "I'm going to hang the window on the wall."
Yeah,
because I think this is awesome.
And also, Patrick Huffick's going to
and Patrick's going to lose his shit. Patrick's losing it. He's just saying, "Oh man," over and over again, kind of quietly. I'm a little creeped out now, actually. I'll be honest.
Oh man.
I think it's one of those things where everyone in the production team got like a cutout.
Yeah, they had a bunch of windows, right? Because they had the whole side of the plane.
Sure, yeah.
And yeah, I thought it's the interesting thing about it is that we haven't talked about it at all yet because we didn't want to blow the surprise, but it's weathered. So it's like it looks like an airplane window. It's I think the metals. I don't know how thick airplane walls usually are.
Double, I have no idea. It probably depends on the plane, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, is it like a thin piece of aluminum? Then there's some other stuff. But this is
well,
like
there's a
quarter
layers,
inch
right?
thick.
So
piece.
I think it's probably thicker than a real airplane.
It kind of felt like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then the plexiglass looks like it's routed out to make the cracking and the damage. Mm. Right. And the smoke damage is all painted on where there was a fire inside the plane and crashing. It's a really interesting glimpse at what props are, how props are made. And it's a piece of Lost. So we thought,
damn.
You can That's take your really picture cool. with it later if you want.
I will.
Yeah. Okay.
I will.
If it was the hatch, you would have lost your shit.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think you would also recognize it. Like, if it was the big,
well,
you know,
the hatch
the
has numbers
window,
and stuff on it, right?
The bigger window.
I think Damon Lindelof actually has that in his office. That's like, it. That's, like, he procured. He paid for it. I think, mm-hmm. like he got it as part of the auction when ABC got rid of all the parts. But I think that's actually in his office proper. Mm-hmm. Although there's probably multiple.
I'd say there's a stunt hatch somewhere, yeah. and then there's a hero
hatch.
Well, you know, that's what they. So one of the things we've learned talking to Adam about props and prop collecting and prop replication and all that stuff is that there are hero props. So like there was one Blade mm-hmm. Runner gun made.
The hero props
for
close-ups.
That is
right.
for close-up shot. The one close-up shot of that gun in the movie.
There's one that's like hyper detailed, and then
right.
the
yeah.
other is
and fragile around. And made out of real guns, and is a beautiful piece of movie history. And then there's a bunch of like castings that they make off of that are made of rubber or something like that. So when you're running down, when Harrison Ford is running down the street with a rubber gun, if
sense.
He trips and falls, he doesn't smash the thing that some guy spent hundreds of hours making. He just drops a piece of rubber that was
saved.
Same thing
as whenever someone tosses a gun to someone else.
Yeah. Someone oh, really?
It's like a rubber.
Yeah. Yeah. All rubber?
Always rubber.
And then you have the things they make toys out of. They have, you know, you have your toys, and then you have a better version of that somebody hand built to make the cast for the toy.
Yeah,
that's always kind of a cool item. That's way better than what the toys
and
are.
And the toy collecting, there's so many sides to this collecting artifacts of things. I didn't realize how much toy collecting and there's the people that make the props for Comic-Con and stuff like that and cosplay. It's there's so much cool stuff being built that is arcana from like games and movies and TV shows and all sorts of stuff. Let's take a brief moment and talk about why we're here. We're at the 22-hour and 35-minute mark. Or sorry, 26-minute mark because we're 9 minutes ahead. Is that right? 22 hour and 30
you're
minutes? Close
you're
enough.
9 minutes behind or whatever.
It doesn't matter.
9 minutes.
We're like 22
stop
and a half
to,
hours
stop
in.
Stop trying to do math.
So 24-hour podcast. We're doing this for Child's Play. We're trying to raise money for kids to give comfort to kids who are sick and in hospitals. And that is in the form of things that we all love. Toys and video games and books and things like that that may otherwise be difficult to get.
You can go to childsplaycharity.org.
Yeah,
and learn all about all the partner hospitals they work with and what they do.
To get the full scoop. If you'd like to donate, there's a page set up. It's at tested.com/donate. That there's a chip-in widget at the bottom. That will basically, if you go there, it'll get you PayPal money directly to Child's Play in the name of Oktobercast and yourself. It's all tax-deductible
right
in the United States. We're at $22,179. We've gone
nice,
up a lot
done.
In the last hour.
Yeah.
And there are tons of great comments. Last time we read comments, I can't. It's all just people saying, "Hey, good job," and "God, I'm tired," and "Why did you guys do this? This is horrible. We'll make this 12 hours next year." And now one says, "No, fuck off." And I assume that means he's been watching the entire
12
time
hours is too early.
And he's just done with the entire. That's the right attitude.
It's really mind blowing that someone would. No, donate $1,000.
Oh, it's astounding.
Yeah, there was
even $100.
There was somebody that gave $1,500 to the 24-hour Halo thing that Drew and Alexis did. And it's just like that's incredible.
Just like
yeah.
That's
like I know what $1,500 means to me, And to give money like that to you know, yeah, certainly sure, a very good cause, but still, just yeah, that's really incredible.
It's amazing. It's amazing the support that we get from the community when you do this every year.
And it's a great charity, not just in what they do, but in things like, you can gauge charities by how much overhead they have and stuff like that. Extremely low overhead. It's not like 20% of everything you do ends up going to some organization.
There's no $600,000 salaries for executives at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, there's none of that, right?
The cash that they spend, that they count as overhead and have to count as overhead, is used to ship things to hospitals that were donated that were physical goods.
It's literally what it is. It's all volunteer time and stuff. So it's
and get storage for that stuff while it's waiting for transit and all that kind of stuff. It's a wonderful charity, and I'm proud to support it every year. We're really stoked at just the work that they do. And so this is going to be up for, well, we're doing this on the 27th of October. I think when we started it was the 26th. That seems like a really long time ago.
The longest day.
But this is going to be up. The chip-in will be open until at least November 16th. That's what we're leaving up to right now.
I don't know what you guys are complaining about, because it's like Jack Bauer does this every year, and he runs all over and beats up bad guys.
Man, he changes clothes like three or four times.
He never goes to the bathroom or anything.
No, there are like some extended scenes. I watched most of 24. Yeah. Extended scenes where he is off camera and you assume, you know.
Yeah, he must be catching.
Well, they have commercial breaks too.
But he's catching terrorists.
Hey, would you hand me one of those green tea Kit Kats, if you please?
It's strange.
They're magical.
There was a really when that show was on.
Sure.
Just two away from the microphone, please.
That show does such a poor job of conveying a sense of time and scale, especially when like Jack Bauer's able to get through like traffic in downtown LA. So someone actually started taking episodes.
Those Google Maps were amazing.
And mapping out what he was actually doing versus like what they would actually take the average person to do.
God bless
you. It was amazing. Especially when that show was taking a steep dive in the last couple of seasons. Oof. But I was committed to it because I've watched this long. I watched Prison Break all the way to the end.
You have a completionist problem, don't you?
I do have a completionist
problem.
Prison
Break even.
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about this last year, but 24, just Soul Patch Almeida made it worthwhile. Yeah.
But I felt like I had to, you know, given that I've met Kiefer Sutherland twice now. Once in an official capacity and once at a bar.
Was he drunk in any of those?
I don't think so. So we used to, I can say this now because we don't live there anymore. We used to live around the corner from this bar, a pretty popular hangout in L.A. in the Los Feliz area, which is just east of Hollywood. It's more or less the San Francisco of Los Angeles. It was when I was working for G4. And there is Ye Rustic Inn, which is a pretty popular like sports bar, but it's like it's really grungy too. Like it's not like real classed up. So
does it have like a faint tinge of urine on there?
Yeah. So it's my kind of place.
I like
and
that. Good
and
jukebox?
Yeah, not a digital jukebox. Oh. So they're smart. So people like me can't. Also, it's a place I like, so I wouldn't ruin it.
Okay.
I only do it for places I don't like.
Okay.
And Katie and I were drinking there one night and hanging out, like watching some Bears game. And I noticed to the corner of my eyes that there's this guy, you know, this familiar looking person over in the corner, and it's directly behind my wife. And I'm like, Katie, I want you to turn around, but I want you to make it not look obvious. And what you see, I want you to be very calm about. Because we live in LA now, so this is like pretty early on. We're living there. Like, this is going to be probably something that's pretty common. So just don't ruin this. And so she turns around. Because I figured if I told her, I should have premised this with, her favorite actor of all time is Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, okay.
So this is like
That's pretty important detail.
That does change the dynamic.
This is serendipity. But if I felt like if I told her, yeah, that would ruin everything.
Is she like gonna shriek and go ah?
Right. So I wanted it to.
She doesn't seem like that. That that's a
no. But this might be this might be a situation where it happened.
Okay.
And so she turns around, eyes bug out, and just like turns her head back. She's like, "Is that Kiefer Sutherland?" Like, yes, that's Kiefer Sutherland. She's like, "What do we do?" And I was like, "This looks like he's here with a friend. This is probably just a place he comes to. We're not gonna do anything. Like most likely, we're gonna see him again." So maybe at some point, if you want to go say hi,
you're planting a tree,
or yeah, like this is a long term. When you eventually say hi to him, which I'll let you do, we're just not going to do that tonight.
So you're at this point, you're Katie's celebrity meeting concierge. Yeah. You're working her through this whole process.
You're also
introducing yourself.
You're taking a gamble that it is a regular spot for him.
Right.
That he will be there.
Well, then I did some quick research on my phone.
Oh, that's good.
Which was Los Feliz, Kiefer Sutherland, and then there was a bunch of, like, mentions of people having seen him around. So I guess he owned some property out there.
Okay. So fair enough risk.
Right. So I thought reasonably that we'd see him again.
The strategy was not to engage immediately, but to make yourself stand out enough that maybe he would remember you in the back of his head.
Look at the hair.
A regular.
We were like kitty corner. Like, we were pretty close. Like, he definitely was seeing us as he was surveying the room.
And he was probably aware at this point that something was up.
Jack was always surveying the room.
So we go back to just, we're eating these buffalo wings, we're watching the game, drinking some beers, and we're there for like another hour. And she, to her credit, does really well. Like, she only glances over every once in a while and then, like, giggles. She's keeping herself, like, I was really proud of her. That's kept herself under control. But not enough, apparently. But at some point, Kiefer Sutherland is a classy motherfucker. So at some point, she turns over and he just goes and just waves her over. Uh-huh. And so she's like, "Do I go?" And I was like, "Yeah, you go."
It's fucking Jack Bauer.
At that point, she was not expecting this turn of events, so she was frozen.
At this point, did she do the thing where she, like, looks on the other side, make sure he's not waving at a friend on the other side?
At that point, you could have lost her forever.
I know. I knew this. So, yeah. Girls who have lists, this guy is on this list. Like,
this is an indecent proposal.
We weren't engaged or married at this point, so there were issues.
$1 million.
I had to take a calculated risk on this one too.
Wow.
And so she walks over, and he, like, in a very classy way, was just like, "Hey, I saw you there with your boyfriend, but I saw you kept looking over, so I thought, you know, you." He said, "I think it's really funny that you have buffalo sauce all over your nice dress," which she did. She's like, and he said,
"Oh, Katie."
He's like, "I just wanted to say hi," and so they chatted for like 5 minutes, and then she came, sat down, it was all cool.
Did you do the Bauer thing? Where he says something and then he yells the same sentence again?
No, he did not do that. No, he did not.
That would be awesome.
Then he high-fived me.
I think it's really funny that you have buffalo sauce on your dress.
That's actually, that was a pretty good imitation.
That would be amazing. Well, Norm does the quiet voice and I do the yelling voice.
Damn it.
It's part of our...
Yeah,
damn it, Chloe, open a port!
That was part of my 24
socket.
Drinking
Open
game.
A socket. It's always a socket for some reason.
So it was a port for a while there in the beginning. That show really went to hell after they nuked L.A. I mean, not that we all haven't wanted to nuke L.A.
They nuked L.A. right after you killed Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
When they lost, who's that?
I liked when they killed the Hobbit. That was good.
So the last good season was season 4 or 5?
4 was the one where they nuked L.A.
The one where the president becomes evil?
Yeah, that one was okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Logan?
Yeah, Logan.
Really? Oh, I loved that season.
The Logan stuff
was
good.
He just looked like... You knew he was going to be. He looks like
the bad guy.
I would argue that the last really strong season was season 3 with the heroin.
I don't
heroin
think it was 4 either.
That was really good.
Yeah,
like that was peak 24. Like, Jack Bauer was tortured. There were no cougars. What's her name was minimally involved. For some reason, she worked for CGU.
Elisha Cooper, who I did meet.
You were in a.
I actually got to ask her about the cougar thing.
Okay,
because
she actually had to hate the shit out of the cougar, right?
Probably. So that was my the bar meeting with Kiefer Sutherland was the second time I saw him. The first time was when they made 24 the game. I went to like whatever press junket that there was, where I got to interview the cast, and that was a lot of fun. He was super nice there. I had just turned 21. And so I asked him about, like, what I should drink, and he gave me this really long, like, list of recommendations.
Did you publish that ever, or was that part of the story?
That was one of my first real interactions with celebrities, and that was a moment where they were shooting. So, like, he came over to do the interviews, and then was going back to production, because they were doing, like, some night scenes. He didn't have his makeup guy or girl with him, so because he wasn't in makeup, they weren't allowing cameras. So
oh, no.
It had to be just this audio interview, so... Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take a break and just say, all right, so I've been here an hour and a half or so, a little more than that. So I don't want to, like, hog the chair if you're trying to get other people in.
No, this is it. This is the home stretch.
I don't want to. Okay, that's cool.
The doors have been bolted shut. No one else is allowed in.
Well, you know, I know you want to, you know, talk about push-ups.
Joey's going to come on in a minute.
We're going to bring Joey on in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably taking some well-deserved rest right now.
Yeah. I'm totally cool hanging out, and I'm enjoying it. I just don't want to be like...
No, no. And we have like 4 more mics here. We're mic'd. We had, at one point, we had 7 people on this table or something crazy.
That must be nice.
Yeah.
Having room for that.
Well, I mean, so the weird thing about this is we went from being on shared sets with a bunch of other awesome people, but, you know, sharing sets is a little bit of a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
To having...
Wait, you didn't like Rory screaming at all of us? Like, no, I mean, three times a week because none of us would shut up while he was doing his video shoots?
That wasn't the... You know, honestly, like, I have real, like, real fondness. Because, like, and we talked about this with Jeff and Brad, but, like, you're much... I felt like I was much more informed about generally everything just by mere proximity, being near to more people more of the time.
Sure.
Because there was more likelihood of some interesting conversation happening.
Way and kind easy to be distracted.
Well, that, yes. That this is, we are much more productive in the quiet room of darkness in the back of the office all by ourselves. But, and I'm the pronest to distraction person here. At this point, I'm absolutely positive.
Yeah. We've also lost a lot of the spontaneity. We're getting back to
it's
that.
It's hard
point,
to do that.
But it's that office, the way it was set up, was very specifically geared to allowing that kinds of things to happen. And also,
bullpen of people.
Yeah, the bullpen, and then just the way that Vinny and Drew had, you know, had set up the way the production was set up, like the pipeline to just turn stuff on and do stuff was so that
from stupid idea to live stream was like 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
At most.
And it's you know, we've realized how difficult that is to replicate, you know, over at CBS. Even just having our live stuff down the hall completely changes that dynamic.
Well, and the thing we've found is that, like, we having the we had four or five at different times awesome producers. Everybody could kind of pick up somebody else's stuff. If somebody was out sick or needed to take a vacation or whatever, then, you know, and God bless Joey because he is a fucking machine. But
multi-tool.
I mean, yeah, but you can't do, like, it's really hard when you're only when you're three people deep,
right?
And there's not a lot of opportunity for overlap and stuff like that. And we're, that is a real hard shift for us that we're learning more about now. Cause like if somebody gets sick or goes on vacation or, you know, has some sort of family emergency or something, then it's
yeah. Losing one person,
like the whole thing changes.
Unit is completely different.
The plan goes out the window and you're like in emergency fallout mode.
So we've had that same sort of issue where, so, you know, we launched this new brand. We didn't expand our editorial size at all. It's just like, hey, you used to make two websites and two magazines. Now make two websites, two magazines, and another website and some ebooks and stuff with the same people. And your fault tolerance goes right out the window. Like, like anything non-planned for just screws up your whole day.
It means you go into complete reaction mode, and then it takes a week or two
mode.
To get out of that sometimes.
It really does, yeah. So that's not an easy place to be.
And I mean, since we do a lot of video, and our stuff is much more produced, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, I love doing produced video because it's great.
It takes more time.
But it takes a lot more time. And
which
I mean,
all of our stuff is produced in the sense that, like, Vinny and Drew produce it and have created a pipeline to make it happen, but it's all very raw.
But it's mixed live and raw. And I mean, when we're going out and interviewing people who may not be particularly well media trained, but who've made something that's fucking awesome.
That's where the production helps and can make someone that's maybe not great at interviewing still be a compelling subject because you can surround it with footage of whatever they've made. And
but all that stuff takes a ton of time.
Joey's time.
Yeah, and so we do the thing that you guys did or the Jeff and Ryan and Vinny and Brad did really well when they started out, and that's find other ways to do kind of in between content that's pretty lightweight and easy light touch. I mean, and that's so, you know, things like we have this amazing access to Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman. And I mean, we can go over to Adam's and record a couple of podcasts in the afternoon, and that's something that I can, like, put a bumper on at the beginning and smack up on the website and hey, content.
you've done your checkbox for the day,
and it's good. I mean, and it's not heavily produced content, but it's really interesting because he's an interesting dude, and we tend to have I think reasonably interesting conversations most times we talk about something, no matter how weird or random it is. So, like, finding the balance between the produced thing once or twice a week and then the other kind of things like the MakerBot and all that has taken a lot of time. And the fact that we were doing it out of Norm's living room for 3 months was real exciting, too, because that meant that we also had to move his furniture before we started, which was no big deal.
No big deal.
But
more coordination in terms of, you know, am I working from home today for Will and Joey? Or am I spending 3 hours out of my day?
Yeah.
You also have roommates. It's not like you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there's
normally
that consideration,
down the law,
too. It's like, I mean, everyone is willing to put up with that for a little while, but at some point it's like, hey, your office can't be here anymore.
Yeah.
Well, we were always careful to do that stuff during the daytime when people were at work and
right.
had sane jobs and stuff like this. We weren't really interfering with the work life balance of Norm Manor that much. We hope, but yeah, it's been like you didn't appreciate having that bullpen. How much that bullpen, both on the production side and in the just dudes to come in and fill a seat to talk about something.
Yeah.
Something while you're
like, yeah, when you guys could fill in on a quick look or like even like, you know,
yeah, if one of us was out and you guys came in and did app of the day or something like that, that made yeah. that stuff possible.
Yeah, all that stuff was awesome. Like that's truly like, you know, I'm glad that everyone's doing really well, but like I think everyone misses that stuff a lot. Yeah. Like there was something, you know. Everything special has to end at some point, but that was definitely something really cool.
Well, I mean, the good thing about ending when we did was we had reached a point where we were making something that was really special, and I think unique in my experience, doing content on the web, which is a real weird way to say what we like,
yeah, abstract
we're,
way.
We're content producers content. On the internet, and we've got several video production facilities spread around the San Francisco. No, I mean, but it was a weird, like, I mean, I would have loved to have seen what would happen if we had kept going. Because
right.
I think it would have either flamed out spectacularly, like a massive explosion of bad things all over the place, or we would have gotten even weirder and ended up with some sort of crazy like late night talk show thing. Because I mean, that's kind of where we were inching toward. You know,
I don't. No one wants to flame out spectacularly. No one's flame out. Period.
But I mean, that's the stuff. Like when you know, I was actually part of a similar setup for a little while when I was working for 1UP. Like the 1UP show was like the proto. Like what, like Giant Bomb and that sort of approach to content was. And 1UP was the similar setup was like, hey, here's this thing. We're not totally sure how we're going to sustain this or make enough money that we can keep expanding. And that ended up flaming out where everyone got laid off because the business model wasn't such to support
that. And just
that.
To be clear, I'm glad we didn't flame out. I'm glad.
Right. You know, I'm glad we all have jobs.
If the third option
we'll
is
hang out and do this stuff like this.
Yeah.
We can go out
after doing some good stuff and then go on and do some other good stuff. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just, you know, being able to appreciate like a very special moment in time. Like not everyone gets to have something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like when you go on to do the other things, when you look back on that, you sort of appreciate like how cool that
God,
one
I wish
thing
we had
was.
Real music licenses. We could play some sappy Green Day songs right
Use
now.
Use this nostalgia.
Time of your life.
Yeah.
Kick as an opportunity to donate.
Yeah, this is
Now's the time to donate.
Norm pulling transition. The heartstrings.
Now's the time to donate to Oktoberkast. Tesla.com/donate.
I'm looking at the ticker. We are at almost $24,000. We are at like $1,000 every 15 minutes here right now. This is if we had maintained the space for the entire show, we would have raised like $3.5 million. I mean,
well, it's still better than $1,000 an hour.
Oh, right? I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, like last year at this point, we started out last year and we're like, man, maybe if we make $10,000, that'd be really awesome. Yeah, I mean, and it's dumb, and it's 24 hours, but that's 10 grand is worth it. We ended up, I mean, between all the...
You want to be humble. Like, you want to think that you could do much more, I mean, but to assume that is to set yourself up for failure.
Everyone has a number.
I was just, frankly, glad that, like, people were watching the show.
Right.
I mean, when we got in the chat and there were, like, 50 people there at the beginning, I was like, oh, thank God, we're not going to just be doing this to a fucking empty room, because that would be the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the people come out and they give, and they gave last week. Extra Life was an amazing success this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys raised a bunch of money, but the guys who've been doing it for the last 3 years also raised a ton of money. I mean, I say you guys. I mean, Drew and Alexis were doing the Halo Marathon.
I showed up for an hour.
Did you play some Borderlands or anything with Matt, or you just?
Well,
like,
I came by their stream and like trying to pep them up halfway through.
Well, that's nice of you.
But yeah, kind of as a segue, I couldn't have really participated because my MacBook Air, which is pretty much the only thing I use to play non-console games, is not really set up to play like Borderlands 2.
Oh, right. Okay. No. So it's a platform issue.
Right.
You know, this bring
you can play FTL though.
We should
FTL.
I play
so
anything.
Runs just fine.
It's right there. It's an amazing. It really fires up the fans in that thing.
Yeah. True.
So yeah, I mean, it's week in and week out. I mean, the community digs deep and you know, I know it's tough times for a lot of people out there, and it's amazing to see every year. That when we come out and do something as profoundly stupid as talking for 24 hours,
still got another hour and 10 minutes.
Okay. So, can't get maudlin yet. So yeah. Let's keep up the energy. Think about it. Hey, remember when we used to do happy hours?
No reminiscing.
I'm not even sure we would reminisce too much about those.
No.
Sometimes those were a giant pain in the ass.
Oh, they were almost always a complete shit show. But something awesome happened every time.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's definitely true.
That was the secret of...
It was always like Friday at 1 p.m. Does anyone have any ideas? Nope. Hey, okay, we'll figure it out.
Thursday at 4 p.m.
Yeah, we would do it early because we had to go buy some shit at Walgreens usually. So
yeah, that's true.
I mean...
Hey, Ryan. You got any ideas?
Yeah. Have you seen any SNL TV ads that are real dumb?
What can we do tomorrow?
We did the masturbating vegetable peeler glove. Oh, that one was so...
You sitting there with all those potatoes all day.
Oh, my God. And then only to find out that modern pennies don't have any copper at all on them. And thus the entire idea of making an enormous potato battery with like 135 batteries. I made a four cell parallel potato battery, but I didn't do enough of the research because it was like at 10 o'clock in the morning. I was like, you know, the grocery store is down the street. I can make a big Portal 2's out. I can make a big ass potato battery.
Right. Could we actually the power our computer with
an Xbox? No, I just want to do an Xbox controller. That's all I was looking for.
Just to get the light on.
Two double A's worth of juice. I got 30 pounds of potatoes, some zinc nails, which was totally good on that, and $5 or $6 worth of pennies, and like wired it up, soldered it all together. And only to find out that maybe one in five of the pennies was old enough to actually have any copper at all to serve as, I guess, the cathode?
Yeah,
I
think so.
So that was real bad. That was not a good day.
Very funny, though.
Yeah.
Especially
I mean,
it was all and like Ryan,
so much
Ryan
build
was
up.
Ruthless to you after that didn't work.
And just to be clear, the shtick is that Ryan is an enormous dick. I mean, he's – I don't want to get too behind the curtain here. Thanks. Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Not to pull the curtain back, but Ryan and I get along. Oh, that's gone. Ryan and I get along really well. I mean, like,
yeah.
You know, there's no, like, now that it's all over, I think we can say that Ryan hates me, but I don't hate Ryan.
That's fair.
Yeah. So it's
you can't afford to.
We're at hour 23 in Oktobercast right now. We have 9 minutes to go in the 23rd hour. This is the time that we reserved to look back upon the last 23 hours to see if we can remember anything that happened.
Okay. The recap.
Gary was going to do the filthiest Mad Libs imaginable, but I think we're retiring that for this year at this point because I don't want to do Mad Libs without Gary. That feels wrong.
I was going to volunteer to do it, but I was like, that's a bad stand-in. Gosh, you can't.
If only Gary was like watching.
Gary's more important than
it's got
to
be Gary.
I hope that Flopsy Space Rocket is doing well. I'm sure that she is with medical attention. I mean, that helps. I kind of want to be a fly on the wall in the room when the doctor comes in and they're like, why are you so strung out looking, man? and he has to explain, well, father of 4-month-old child was on a 24-hour internet video podcast.
Do you work for them? No.
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 What do you do? Why did you? And then there's a whole series of things that end up Gary probably being institutionalized.
I did officiate something.
Yeah. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I drank a thing called Black Blood of the Earth. It's hyper concentrated coffee. And
did you really give him some of that?
He did not drink it.
He did not drink it. He's still afraid of it. 2 years in. I had two.
I don't think I would either.
Do you drink a lot? See, do you drink caffeine? Do you drink a lot of coffee? No, you're not a coffee drinker.
No,
right?
I know I drink coffee.
Oh, okay.
Although I think I'm beginning to make the transition to green tea.
Well, if you want a green tea Kit Kat, we can hook you up with that.
It seems like it's healthier.
This is Oktobercast, so 23 hours down, 1 hour to go. We have so far to this moment raised more than $24,000. I'm going to refresh and get the current total. Yeah, there's a couple of $1,500 or so in pledges that have not come in for things we auction. We auction stuff this year. This is a new development in the Oktobercast
saga.
An hour left.
Half an hour left on our final auction.
Oh, on the final auction. Oh, that's right.
So what's the last?
The Stein of Science.
Item.
Have you looked at the total? Is it still 430? 410? 410 looks like is the high bid so far in the Stein of Science. It's a
pretty
doer.
Good.
It'll hold your coffee, beer, whatever, cold or warm for a really extended period of time. you know, what the difference between this and a Zojirushi or a Thermos is that you're paying more for less. There is less air in the gap between the insulated inside area and the outside area than there is in a more traditional, like it's a tenth of an atmosphere in a thermos, and a Dewar has a much lower percentage of actually atmosphere. So that means it's much more thermally insulated, which is a good thing.
It's a, we actually have a video drinking about this apparatus with a giant warning label on it. How many of your drinking
yeah.
containers have a giant warning?
And just to be clear, if you like to drink clearly. With your left hand, you probably shouldn't buy this because there's a big gnarly metal seam on that side of it that I think could do some, like, I don't want to say major damage, but it would just definitely give you a fairly significant paper cut of metal to your lip, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
it looks like it's been smoothed down, but this is not your child safe drinking apparatus. You don't want to give this to the kid and be like, yeah, here, have some milk. It'll be great for you, sonny.
Yeah, so if you're a lefty, yeah, maybe.
But you can drink right-handed. It's not like it requires
anyone here lefty?
Gary's left-handed.
Okay, well, that's too bad.
So, no. So, yeah, we're 23 hours in. If you'd like to donate, the address is tested.com/donate. I say do it for the kids. We've been operating this entire show on the theory that, you know, if we can't do a quality one-hour program and raise a lot of money, we're just going to give you quantity. And
sure.
and bombard you with the
it's
most
a lot easier
program.
That way.
I bet if someone took and edited just one hour.
You could
hour,
get an amazing 10-minute show.
Yeah.
Good highlight reel.
Yeah. Yeah, we had so we had some
let's not recap. I want to get Joey here before he does something.
Okay, okay.
So whenever Joey's ready.
Patrick, we promised to talk about your PC. Cuz one of the things we did talk about a lot today is the rise of the PC as a gaming platform.
Sure, yeah, console cycle has gone longer, the PC ports have gotten better, and now that their Steam is afforded a platform where they make money, publishers are interested in supporting it.
And the question I've been asking everyone is, do you think that this is a temporary, and I'll ask you the same question, Jason, so you guys can decide amongst yourselves. Do you think this is a temporary aberration that's due to the end of the console cycle and the consoles going extra long this time, giving the PC extra steam, and that as new consoles come out next year, we'll see this kind of the PC momentum kind of fade away as it has in previous cycles? Or do you think that the rise of Steam makes this a new console PC equilibrium forming?
I think it's that. I think it was born out of the console cycle taking so long and people growing tired of
and cheap PCs and
cheap
Steam.
Yeah, like I think it's a lot of things that were afforded because the consoles went on for so long, but now that it's a market that has been proven where people will pay for it, I think that will continue to be a thing even when the new consoles launch.
And Jason, concur?
I mostly agree with that. I think it's born out of that. I think it's also born out of the idea that the way of selling games for the current generation of consoles is archaic. You know, it's going
to the store and buying a disc and putting it in the machine.
Yeah, it's going to the well when you have indoor plumbing. It's, you know, it's not only that from the consumer standpoint, but from the people who produce the content standpoint, the publishers and stuff. It's that direct connection with customers. That's why things like mobile phones and stuff are so useful. You have this one app store, but hey, I have control over the price and the timing of when I sell it, and if I want to do a deal this weekend, and I have all these things that I can control, and I don't have that thing with a big retail infrastructure behind me. And the current games consoles, there's Xbox Live Arcade and stuff, but that's not how you get your Call of Duty and everything. I mean, that's not...
Well, and even the people who are making games for Xbox Live Arcade are profoundly not happy with the
because Microsoft's rules are they're not in keeping with the idea of what a digital distribution platform should be. So I think that has helped the PC a lot, that the PC has made that shift very, very much so away from, you know, retail distribution to a real publisher centric, you know, digital distribution platform. And I think so. Not only are the current consoles getting old, I think that's not a way to sell games. That's not a good way to sell games.
So, I mean, I love to live in the world where digital distribution of video games on over the internet is a realistic possibility for consoles. But I think we're going to see discs at least in a kind of cohabitation with.
Yeah, well, it has to. There are still a significant chunk of the Xbox 360 user base
that
doesn't even connect their machine to the internet, so they're not about to get rid of it.
Or people that have slow internet because they live someplace that they're not served by something fast.
I mean, think about a more powerful system and the size of the game that is. Like the 20 gigabyte download
the 30 gigabyte Max Payne for PC is gonna be the norm, not the aberration.
So yeah, I agree that there will be discs, but that whole method of lack of control over my pricing and timing and all the other stuff that I give up when I have to go through retail, if I'm a game maker, you know, I can't go. I have to go through a publisher, and I have to go through a publisher with these deals and these things, and then I'm at the behest of a schedule that is about a retailer person. So that's just,
and they're slow. So, I mean, they're slow and expensive.
And they're slow, and then you want to do an update, and that's a pain in the ass. And the model of these things is just so much better, and that's why you see this brain drain in gaming away from traditional gaming.
Except for people complain about paying 99 cents for games on that.
Right.
And we're used to selling $60 for AAA. So my question then is, in the old days, you would talk about a PC title selling a tiny fraction of the units that sells on a Xbox or PS3. I know Steam doesn't release numbers, sales numbers,
which I think publishers like a lot. I think that's part of the reason they get behind Steam is because, I mean, you see what happened with NPD numbers. Those have continually gotten obfuscated because when you don't release numbers, the spin you can put on your game is greatly to your benefit. So
spin helps sales after? What is spin?
It helps the shareholders too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big thing. Is and when you're talking about a game that is, like when you're talking about a top 10 list that there's no unit sales next to, the swing from number one could be 20 million units to 5 million units to 1.5 million units. Mm-hmm. And so number three might be selling a tenth or a 20th number of units of the number one. So but I mean, there are a few cases where people have said how many units they're selling on Steam, and how you're probably in a better position to know that than anybody else we've talked to. That doesn't have inside information that they're not going to share on an internet podcast. But like, are they selling? Are they close to comparable? Or is it still a fraction? Is it a sizable fraction?
I mean,
it
seems to be one of the models that's been born out of people's disenchantment with like working with a platform holder like Microsoft, as they've become more arrogant as a result of having a smart idea at the beginning of this cycle. Like, let's give Microsoft credit. Like,
oh yeah,
like the Xbox Live Arcade was defined a lot of the digital side of video games the last 5 years.
And achievements, God.
Yeah.
The only good game on the only good launch title that I remember in the last couple of generations is Geometry Wars. Yeah. And that was a download. I bought an Xbox 360 to play a $5 downloadable game.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. That seemed really expensive at the time. You know, it was the idea of paying like for a because it was a non-physical product. So like that was the first hurdle that they helped people get past, was this being okay with a license.
Well, I was used to buying shareware and stuff like that, so I've always been a pretty big supporter.
For console people.
But yeah, for console people, like $5, I was like, this game is amazing. I will pay $305 for this experience.
Pick up for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Or just sit there and zone out for 12 hours and play until you get pacifism on all the way around a couple of times.
And so as a result, what Microsoft has been able to do is, because they have this huge platform that is... There's more risk involved. Like, there are plenty of Xbox Live Arcade games that fail, but the ones that do succeed set themselves up not so much with sales, but more name recognition. So, like, Super Meat Boy is a great example where that sold just okay on the 360 when it was part of, like, their fall festival.
Like that.
I can't remember what the promotion was. They haven't done it since because it didn't do that well.
Right.
But
I don't think they finished it that year.
But the response to the people that did play it was so extraordinary that when Super Meat Boy was released on the PC, they sold exponentially more, and like that's where they made all their money.
And the same thing happened with Bastion and some other, or presumably with Bastion and Limbo. And
a lot of those games have followed this path of premiering on Xbox Live Arcade because you can get money to fund it, and then just making sure that your contract allows you to. You give them the 6 month exclusivity, and then it shows up. Yeah. That's why I always laugh like when like people like are like, oh, you know, Microsoft locked up Fez. It's like, no, they don't lock up any of these games. They lock up them for 6 months. The developers can't talk about that. Like that's just they don't want to.
They don't want to jinx sales.
It's a wink and a nod. Like Microsoft wants the exclusive window.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot of developers are taking the money from the platform holders, then going to where the real money is, which is on Steam, because you get a better royalty rate or a split.
And you control pricing too, so you can do sales and stuff like that.
Exactly. Like and updates and things like that. Are much easier, and you're not paying a fee to do it.
So let's talk about gaming PC. So you're I think we've talked about this a little bit in the past.
Wait, before you go on to that, because part of that point though that I find interesting is that the store that Microsoft has on Windows 8,
yes,
isn't like their
Xbox store. It's an App Store model,
but it's not the App Store model that it's not the model that they have on Xbox. It's the good model that like Steam has. It's like, oh, we'll take 30%. Well, in fact, we'll only take 30%.
It's still CERT, though, so it's closer to Apple with some more control over CERT than Steam, which is if you're invited to be on the platform, you can release the buggiest software you want, and then
there's a thing, but they're not charging you for app updates, and they're only charging you this one flat royalty rate, and that royalty rate goes down to 20% after a certain.
And that is value. It's after you make 10 grand, I think, right?
So something like that.
So that's
or
that's actually
grand, I don't remember the number.
That's unique because Microsoft's royalty rate is
and you can do free on anything, and there's not a size limit, and all these other things that God, if the do that on the Xbox, and wow,
like, I mean, all that stuff's going to happen with the new machines. Like
I would
a large part of like what's happening with the 360 and the PS3 is like on a structural level, they just can't. They need you to buy a new box.
It's so, back-end legacy for that they set up 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, yes. It's back-end legacy and be unlike the model on PC or at least even on phones where you're tied
new box,
to a...
So the purchasing system is...
Because they're going to launch all that with the new box.
Okay, business development on software and hardware.
That is all tied together.
They're not going to spend the money to...
It's
not a technical limitation. It is a business decision.
I don't think so, no. I mean, maybe it's a technical limitation on the infrastructure they have for the current box. But they want...
Shit's weird over here.
Yeah, some audio weirdness.
And so they'll make it easier for people both to buy... For consumers to buy games and also for developers to sell
games. I think you'll see a lot more of that in the next box, but they want to make a convincing argument up front, which results in having the box that we have now just not be as current.
So we don't have I can't believe I'm saying this, but we don't have a ton of time left. I want to make sure we get Joey out here to talk about push-ups.
Oh, sure. Yeah?
Let's... your strategy for... At least the last time we spoke...
Uh-huh.
For PC building, is that you're going to buy a reasonably good CPU motherboard, like a mid-range CPU motherboard video card.
Yeah, I want to go mid-range, like looking at like $800 with the idea that it's set to be upgraded when the new console machines launch, and I have a better idea of what the minimum spec is to run those.
Right. So the idea then is that you're buying a CPU motherboard, memory, hard drive that you're going to keep for a while,
right?
And then the video card is maybe a year and a half, 2 years. So you're going to wait until the generation of video cards that are post new consoles, and we kind of have a better idea of what stuff is actually
good enough
used.
Video card.
Yeah. Like I don't want top end because I'll get to top end when I have a better idea of what the top end actually is relative to the consoles.
So, I mean, it's incredibly confusing.
You need $800.
Yeah, that's...
That seems to be like that's about what I should be
$800,
like.
You can play any game out there now at 1080p with all the stuff dialed up on a quiet system that won't get super hot.
You can put it in your living room and plug it into your big TV.
But that's my plan.
SSD
like
also?
That's the question. With $800, it gets tough to do that unless you do.
I wasn't planning to do SSD up front.
Hybrid drive.
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay, so I had not heard of these hybrid drives until Apple had announced theirs. Yeah. Like I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Apple does theirs in an interesting way.
They do OS level stuff with theirs, and it's on the BIOS level for the Windows side, right?
Yeah.
That's the big difference.
I think there's Apple's appears to be more based on the stuff they do on servers about ganging up hard drives and moving stuff away. It is it's managed on the OS level. It's about moving files around and not logical blocks of data and stuff. But that's we're running
real
down
dirty.
A really geeky rabbit hole when we start talking about
I mean, there's a couple options you can do if you wanted to buy it. You can buy a relatively inexpensive SSD. It's like 32 gigs or something like that. If you buy the right Intel motherboard, you can plug that in and use that as essentially a kind of hoopty hybrid drive where you can cache.
I think I would only want the
frequently.
Probably just want the OS and like the main game you're playing.
If you're planning to upgrade later anyway and you just want something good enough now, I don't think you need to go SSD.
I don't think so either.
A
like,
good terabyte
I think
drive
I'd rather
is like $60.
Yeah.
A really good
we'll
one.
Get the SSD
and I think,
later,
yeah, I'll get the SSD when there's like a cheap sale,
right.
and then I'll add it. I don't think that's like a requirement
Although,
up front.
Here's the thing. I have to say, Patrick Norton said this one time when I was talking to him about SSDs. People get really obsessed with getting the fastest thing. And when you're talking about an upgrade, like going from a physical hard disk to an SSD or even a hybrid drive,
right.
Then you are talking about, even if you're not getting the fast one, which is really expensive, you are getting a massive, massive reduction in latency and throughput and noise reduction.
Noise reduction
from
a huge advantage.
From any to none.
From the world's shittiest SSD almost. From the world's best
disk-based hard drive to the world's shittiest
SSD.
Well,
it's like it doesn't matter how good your dial-up modem service was. When you go to get that cable modem,
you're 56Ks.
You don't go, yeah. Oh, but I really need the fastest cable modem service you have. No, like any cable modem service is night and day different.
Yeah.
And SSDs are like that, yeah.
That's exactly it.
I love the silent thing, though. There's no moving parts. They're just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love that's what I love about my Air. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, that's... Fans.
So right now...
As opposed to the clicking.
Yeah, right now, we have about 40 minutes left in the show, maybe 43 minutes, about 10 minutes left in the last auction of the day.
Okay.
The Stein of Science. I think we should find a giveaway for the bag.
Yeah. Just
oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sweet.
She went straight for me. She went straight for me.
Thanks. You haven't seen me.
I have been chosen.
I've never
met Doritos.
Oh, Doritos. She went for the Doritos.
Letting her loose was a terrible idea. There's trash everywhere.
I never
met. Oh, my God. None of it's open, though.
You guys can keep the bag, give it away, auction it, do whatever you like with it. It's for you to... Do whatever you
Chloe
like.
Chloe Bonanza says, hi, hello.
It could be a good one. It could be a good thing to do for...
Chloe just licked the microphone.
That's fine. Just, at least she didn't drop the microphone. She's not that attitude.
Joey Fumelli, good to have you here on the show. Bang. The unsung... you are... that one might not work. You might have to grab the one next to you, actually.
All
right. One of these has a bad wire someplace.
Oh, I'm hearing things in my headphones.
I apologize. Oh, was that you? Did you hear your headphones on?
Oh, nothing's going really loud.
Okay, sorry. That was that one. This is this
Chloe,
one.
Chloe,
how's that?
Request politely that you guys donate.
Yeah, it's not for the kids anymore. Now it's for the dog.
Yeah, she says for the kids.
This is good. She's gonna fur up the office something because she's shedding really, really bad. Does Pixel shed?
In cycles.
Okay,
but not constantly.
Do you have ears, Joey, or no?
A little lower.
I'm gonna give you better, worse, about the same. Better, worse.
There you go.
Same. Okay.
She's gone.
Hi, Chloe Bananas. So
I haven't talked to you guys in like 24 hours.
It seems like it's been forever, man. You've just been a wall away.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
All right.
You did 1,013 push-ups in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Are you done?
I'm done.
That's it?
Not going
for
1,700?
I was going to try to go for... First it was 1,700, then I was like, 1,300 is doable. And now it's... it feels too weird.
You're a reasonable
man.
My
chest hurts.
Yeah. Just
for some
watching
reason,
you.
I haven't done a single push-up.
A few weird things have happened in the last 24 hours.
Oh, no.
I've developed this trench right here. Very deep trench.
Is this new?
I can.
I don't like that term.
I need to learn to pick things up with
it
or hide things in there.
You've developed man cleavage is what you're telling us?
Everything feels fine until I like reach for a door handle.
Oh, no.
And then just...
Do you need a ride home?
No. I think I'm all right.
Did you ride your bike?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a taxi home.
Okay, good. So explain the mental process. Like, you started out pretty strong, right?
We don't know what your increments were because
we couldn't see the screen.
My increments, so I kind of stuck to my plan. It was start off strong, go like 60, 50, just here and there. I try to do like in 45-minute increments and then take a big break in the middle of the night, like that 3 a.m. to 4 to 5 a.m.
So you wanted to get out ahead.
Yeah, so I can chill out in the in like the late night.
Hey, I know everybody's at home by themselves. Can we get a round of applause for Joey Fumelli right now?
Yeah.
Because in addition to doing 1,000 push-ups, Joey also has been like masterminding the behind the scenes stuff that makes us able to have two shots and three shots and lights and mixing.
I've had help. I want to give some thanks to.
Please do.
Ian Kelly, who's
Lieutenant Squiggs.
Lieutenant Squiggs. He helped me get through the night. I got Sam Ballard out there doing like audio and TriCaster stuff, and also my brother-in-law Richard.
Thank you guys so much.
They were out here the whole time.
Yeah, those guys saved me from 24 hours, a long time.
Yeah,
Wes helped a little early.
Wes was in early in. Yeah, and I mean we had a ton of great guests that did some. We'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah. So you hit your kind of you got ahead, and then you tried to take a nap, and that didn't happen.
So how
did you sleep at all?
How many did you get through before you decided to take a little break?
I think it was like the 400.
Okay, so you did strong 400, consistent.
Yeah. And I feel good.
It was like 3.5 hours you did 400. You were doing it way more than one set every hour. Then you took a little break.
And then I laid down. I laid down and I said, I'm going to sleep for 30 minutes. And I couldn't stop hearing you guys. And anxiety. I'm like, is everything going all right? Finally, I fell asleep for an hour. I woke up and...
Oh, that's good.
And Jeff was here and Brad came in and... I think I frightened him with my grogginess.
Oh, so it was 7 a.m.
I think it was about 6 to 7 I slept,
nice.
I think. That's
pretty
time.
Good.
Yeah, it was nice.
That's a good time to sleep. I mean, if you're only going to sleep 1 hour a day, I think like 5 to 6 is where I'd go, but 6 to 7 is a close second.
You're doing the Ryan Block method.
What is that?
We talked with Ryan Block earlier about not needing sleep.
sleep deprivation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a little more effective. Efficient.
What's that, Kramer, like 20 minutes of...
He cited a guy who's up 4 hours from like 5 to 9 and then 4 hours from 6 to 10 or something like that.
I think this is my 10th cup of coffee.
Oh, that's not good.
Gentle. That's
oh, no.
No.
Hey, at least you'll see the baseball game tonight, so you got that going for you.
What's going on right now?
Go Giants.
Oh, yeah. Start already? I haven't heard anybody yell next door.
Starts at 5.
Yes.
Oh, so 5.
Oh, wait. Is it
5:21 right now?
5 their time.
Oh.
5 our time. So, PT. You woke up from your nap. You resumed the sets.
Pacific time.
Oh, Pacific.
Yeah, it took about an hour.
Physical therapy? He doesn't need physical therapy,
and
I hope.
That's how many hours they've been going. What's PT?
That turned into like 40.
No, it's going. So game started.
50, 40, 40, and then all of
Drew Scanlon, holy cow.
I'm working cameras.
Making a second appearance on the on Octobercast. You were saying, sorry, sir.
Yeah, and then we went down to like 40, and that's where I ended.
40 each.
It wasn't that bad. I think we prepared correctly for 1,000 push-ups in 24 hours.
Right, we did.
Like, I can't do much more.
Oh, you were coming in here to aim a camera at the dog. No.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm gonna let her go then. Like, go find. Where's Gina? Where's she? There's. She's a little Hoover.
Oh man, there's wires over there.
It'll work itself out.
All right.
Oh my goodness. And then, how were you feeling the last like three sets? Because you took a little bit of time between each of the sets at the very end.
I started feeling it. Like it was.
Tightness.
Yeah.
What does feeling it mean?
Like just very loose. Just like my arms couldn't hold me up very well. Like very shaky.
So the collapsing at the end of those sets wasn't shenanigans. That was.
It was more just like I just had to. I just had to let go.
Release.
I think the smart thing you did was not let us know when you were starting those sets, because oftentimes we did not notice, and so we.
It's not that we didn't care.
That was
kind
of the plan.
Or, you know, bother you because we wanted to, you know.
I also didn't want to bother you guys, like, you know, having conversations with people.
I think we would have ruined your concentration more. Too much pressure.
Gold mine back here.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, there's a lot of food back here. I'm going to... Hey, Kelly, where's Gina? There she goes.
But so, I did it. I set a random goal.
So,
and
I apologize for my dog taking the glory from your accomplishment here. you did 1,000 push-ups an hour. What's the most push-ups you've done in a day prior to this, do you think? Like 300?
Prior
last
to this
day?
Whole...
Yeah, before the training.
It's a really great idea.
Like 30.
So can we commit to 46,000 for Octobercast 2013? Are you retiring?
I think I'm retiring push-ups.
No more push-ups.
No more push-ups. From next year, it's squat thrusts.
Squats, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe some squats, yeah.
What all has been going on in that other room there? I mean, because you have people in for a few minutes before each segment and a few minutes after. And this is a kind of non-traditional show because normally sane people like shut down the stream for a minute and switch guests out. And we just keep the mics live the whole time. Mistakes were made.
It's been fun seeing everybody, like all these guys, yeah, that I haven't seen in a while. It's nice.
And a lot of coffee being made back there, I hear. I occasionally hear the grinder going from across. We put it in the farthest part of the office from where we are. Mm-hmm. And
coffee, Cliff Bars.
Okay. Keeping fueled.
Yeah.
It's important. Anything else? Like, what did anything crazy happen back there? Has it been pretty sane?
It's been pretty.
Anybody fall asleep on the panel or anything like that on the control board?
Nope.
Everything seemed to work really well.
I was really surprised. Nothing broke. Everything worked the way it's supposed to.
Like you're just so people know, like Joey figured out the perfect mesh of extension cords to run at way too much power in this office, because we're not wired for like studio lights and stuff. I mean, we kind of are, but not this at this level for this long. So like everything's plugged into every available circuit with extension cords and stuff like that, and it all worked. We didn't trip any breakers or anything.
Yeah, I think we used like all of our cables. And to get this done,
we discovered all our broken HDMI cables and
SDI cables. Yeah. And all that
it was
stuff.
Good. We spent kind of all week going through this stuff, finding out which stuff.
It's good timing because it forced us to build the set, which is not complete. Still work in progress.
That's how it was for the big live show at CBS. Was like that was, you know, we've been slowly building towards having a proper set, but then having this big event forces you to just
you have no choice
everything out,
but to get it done.
Yeah,
turned out pretty well.
Well, that's what we did the first time with the big live show in the old offices too.
Right.
I mean, I think Vinny got a loaner TriCaster before that first one, like 2 hours before the show started or something.
I remember that thing, yeah.
And it was the three head one, so we could only do three cameras at once. And we'd been planning on being able to do five, and we had to make some dramatic changes to the plan for the show. And it was a lot of fun, though. Let's
I want to get back to Patrick's computer.
Okay.
So I'm going to duck out and continue.
Joey, thank you so much.
Congratulations,
this was,
Joey.
Thank you. Your arbitrary goal has been met and exceeded.
Please, if you pledged, you know, even in spirit, but not on Twitter,
yeah,
for Joey's thousand.
Oh, yes. Thank
challenge.
You. Thank you for everyone who pledged.
Thank
for
you.
Also.
Thank you so
Guns
much.
Guns for Kids is a huge success. Next year, it's Squats for Kids.
Gross.
I'm never saying that again.
Pythons for Kids.
So we have about. Roughly 30, 40 minutes left.
I'd say about 40 because you got
to
go.
We got to go nine minutes past, right. If my math is correct. We're talking about Patrick's computer. If you want to donate, tested.com/donate. Go to the bottom, chip in widget. Go straight to Child's Play. Gary's not taking it to Vegas or anything like that. We should explain that Gary's out, gone but not forgotten. His newborn daughter.
I am not Gary Whitta.
No, you are not Gary Whitta. We should make shirts to say I am not Gary Whitta, and you know, don't proceeds go.
I need
to
all kinds of shirts about name confusion.
Exactly.
Jason's too common a name.
Really?
Every kid in the 70s is named Jason, and my boss is Jason Snell.
That's true.
And people will say Jason at work, and will yeah, like hamsters.
I once named a kid Ewell. I made an intern go by the name Ewell because his first name was E something.
Right.
Because I couldn't cope with having two Wills in the office. It was too confusing for everyone.
Right. So we've got two Jasons. We have like three Dans, three Johns.
Well, there are a lot of Dans in the world today.
Yeah, a lot of Dans, a lot of Johns.
Patrick's PC.
The point is that Gary's taking care of his
Gary, Gary's taking his daughter to the doctor. I almost said vet because I was thinking about Chloe, and that would be entirely inappropriate.
I'm glad that you're also voicing your
after 23 hours. You get a pass.
I'm going to tell you a secret. After 36 hours of being awake, the interior monologue is fully exterior. he's nothing. Everything's fine. They're just worried because she's.
Guest stuff take care of it.
He's posting
newborn
on Gaff. He's okay.
Oh, he's posting on Gaff.
Oh, great.
I really want
to
know.
Now you know things have come, like, return to normalcy.
Shit's okay.
Gary's posting on Gaff.
I just want to know, I really, really desperately want to know what he said to the doctor. Because the doctor had to look at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You've been out in the wild?
Yeah, I mean, you've been like a three-day bender? No, I was just on a podcast for the last 22 hours. $800. What would you put? So at this point, it's Intel. Like, you look at Intel CPU. Mm-hmm. The way I usually do this is I either figure out what budget I'm going to put to the video card, or what budget I'm going to put to the CPU.
Knowing he's going to go get something else in a year and a half, right?
Yeah, yes. Video card wise, probably leave the CPU and the motherboard the same though.
Yep.
So you want to skew? You want to probably skew CPU and video card?
Yeah. Then you want an i7, a quad core i7, which are not expensive,
right? I mean, you can get a $200 quad core i7 at this point. It's pretty solid.
Get plenty of RAM. Yeah. Go ahead, get 16.
How much? Like the last time I've thought about RAM
if
was...
If it's a dual-channel thing, then you're going like 8 or 16.
Gigs. Yeah.
Okay.
16. 8 gigs is easy. 8
is
practically
easy.
Free.
16 is not expensive anymore.
You want to make sure that your RAM...
is not expensive anymore.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
That's so sad for RAM companies. I feel really bad for
them. What does not expensive mean?
Like 60 or 80 bucks or something?
Oh,
right?
Wow. Really?
For 16 gigs?
Cool. Yeah.
No, it's more, a little more than that. But just a couple hundred bucks.
But still, that is remarkable.
I priced 12 a few weeks ago, and I was like, wow, really? Triple channel? But it's triple
channel. Yeah, it's triple channels are different. Yeah. Less per stick. Anyway, but the graphics card's going to be the trick, and I think a GeForce, like a 660 or something, not a...
I'm bad at video cards right now.
All right, so wait, what kind of screen are you playing this on? Well, that's the question.
Primarily, it's going to be on my TV.
Okay, which is a 1080p thing. All right, so...
And then, I mean, I'm going to pick up a monitor, but because, you know, there are some things that just aren't going to work on a TV.
Yeah,
but I would say 90% of my time is going to be spent hooking
up to my TV. So GeForce 660 or 670, any game out there at that resolution with all the details up on high, you know, once you want to start adding anti-aliasing and all that
stuff.
It's
going to look way better than an Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah, way
PS3.
Better. Right. If you want to do anti-aliasing and all that stuff, then you need like a 680 or something. That costs
a lot more. 1 minute left on the Stein of Science. The winning bid is still $410 from Robert Ingram. Ooh. So if you want to get to the Stein of Science.
This is a sniping moment.
This is when you come in hard and fast.
You could just spend that money and just donate.
That's the other way to
do
it. I'm looking at my clock just ticked over to 5:30. If your email's not postmarked by 5:30, then Robert's the winner and should donate his money through the chip in.
Great.
And you know, we'll get this on his way. Figure out what he wants us to do to it.
Right.
If anything, we can leave it untainted if he'd like. I apologize for interrupting. Tips@tested.com is the email address.
It is.
Yes.
Accurate
for the.
For the chip-in.
Chip-in.
For the auction. Not to buy me a graphics card.
For the auction, not for the... Yeah,
yeah, we're going to do a Kickstarter for Patrick's graphics card.
$800 Kickstarter for my
24-hour
PC.
Podcast.
$50 t-shirts. You know, we're going to go recap an entire 24 hours in a little bit.
Yeah. So,
on your PC.
So i7, you think NVIDIA like 660, mid-range?
Yeah, like a
you wouldn't go with a Radeon?
Could do either one, really.
78? Series?
Yeah, like we're
it's like a, it's such a toss up. I mean, everybody, people like, on either
people
side
land on the
will
ATI
say
and
their drivers suck. No, their drivers suck. Yeah, either one.
Like for me, who's not that judgmental, like I'll probably be fine whichever way I go.
So the games will look so the same unless it's a particular game that has like fancy physics effects.
Right.
There's not that many of them,
and it seems like the 0 day issues are fading on both sides.
They're fading, and they're about equal. It depends on the game. Like,
yeah.
So
it's really a crapshoot.
ATI is launching. If you buy like a 78 series, you get a bunch of free games.
Mm. Yeah, that's not a problem for you.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't need that. Yeah.
So, and yeah, driver support's fine on either one.
And then what kind of, like, if you're doing something for the living room, do you buy like a little small kind of like mini shoebox case?
So
like
a
shuttle
type thing? I like the ones that are
really dating myself.
Not for the little shuttle boxes, but the a micro ATX board. So not the full size ATX, but the somewhat smaller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They tend to be a lot more power efficient, and you can get like a case that you can very easily fit all your drives and video cards in without like trying to cram.
Because at some point you're probably going to put two drives in this.
You're not going to use like more than four hard drives.
Right.
You're going to have like an SSD and a hard drive. Eventually.
So you can get a smaller than full size case that fits a micro ATX, but not a really tiny board, and get all the full power processors and everything
in
really easily.
And you're never
going to put
this
in the living room. Talk to Katie. Let her make some help out with this.
Yeah.
I mean, like bring her on board and
we already have a nice spot for like the way our apartment's set up. We have a desk in an adjacent room that is in really close proximity to the TV, so the PC will be out of the way and underneath the desk, and then it'll just run an HDMI.
The nice thing about not getting those little shuttle boxes, but getting something a little more full sized, is you get more ports and all that other stuff
on your
motherboard. So you're not hunting around for a USB port. You can leave things plugged in and all that kind of good stuff.
But most of your
airflow means quieter.
Onboard sound is going to be fine.
Onboard sound is going to be better.
And like a but you don't want to spend $300 on a motherboard at this point, because especially for this kind of
micro ATX boards are cheaper too.
Yeah,
and you know you're probably never going to spend more than like $600 on a video card. Ever?
No.
So
like, I have zero interest even when I get another one to be part of the high end. I'm like,
so
that's just
you're
not
going to get a video card that's going to be bigger than 12 inches.
Well, surfing the mid range on
video cards
and like doing a two year cycle is
that's the way to go.
much more effective than buying one $600 video card and then waiting 4 years and buying another $600 video card.
I wouldn't worry about like overclocking and all that. I mean, you can get a lot more performance out of crunching video,
energy.
But
it's the kind of games I'm going to be playing. Like I'm not, you know, and especially because I'm going to be impressed enough just the leap from 360 to
even a
low end PC would be higher than what I'm using now.
So you don't need one of these expensive motherboards that enables all this kind of stuff. So you can really get away with a whole lot and just be super impressed. And the trick is spend a little bit. It's not expensive, but the $15 or $20 here and there for the quiet fan, the quiet cooler, they really do. They're bigger fans and bigger fins, and they move
slower, but
slower but more.
That
air.
Is where you're gonna have to figure out whether the fan fits in the case.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So and that part,
how do you figure that? Just like
they have heights.
Oh, okay.
So they're 12. Yeah, they're measured in centimeters or millimeters. Usually. Okay. 12 centimeters or 8 centimeters. Jeff built his machine last year in a case by Level something. Level. Oh hell! It's a phenomenally
not
quiet
level
case.
Level
and they
quietpc.com, I think it is.
Yeah, they do. They do great stuff. Silentpc.com is
quietpc.com.
Silentpc
has a lot of recommendations on a lot of stuff.
And I'm going to go and tell you, if you're putting in the living room. So the reason I have a hole in my wall instead of a PC in the living room is that the hole in the wall is silent because it's just a cable coming through.
Yeah,
and I can have a big ass PC with like lots of fans and shit in there. No noise, which is really important in the living room.
That's why it's going to be not attached to the. So even if there is some noise, I'm not going to attach it to like our setup with our TV and 360. My 360 is loud enough as it is, and it'll be in a room.
You should be able to in that price range. You should be able to get something that is, I would think, quieter than a definitely a first gen like not a first gen, but like an old body style 360.
Right, right.
And
which I keep waiting for that thing to die so that I can replace it. But as it continues to run, yes. I can't justify to myself spending $300 on another 360. No.
Yeah, especially when you probably have a couple of Red Ring ones from the first go around in the garage still aging that it came back.
Yeah,
from.
I have another launch era one that's in our front room that the kid uses to watch movies and stuff. And
there you go.
Wow, it's still running. That's impressive.
Well, you know, we technically
you just jinxed it now. It's gonna break.
The ring will be
like
there.
24 minutes until 6 o'clock.
But we started at 6:09.
We did start at 6:09, but 24 minutes until 6 o'clock. We could recap
1 minute per
one
hour.
1 minute for every hour. Oh, in boy. Our heads.
Do you remember?
We do have a schedule.
I'm going to ask one last question
for
this PC stuff. Where should I buy my stuff?
Newegg.
Newegg is good. Amazon's good if you have Prime.
But Amazon charges tax now. It's shipping.
Newegg charges tax
so
too.
Newegg too.
I'm saying Newegg. Amazon charges tax now. It used to be
The nice thing about Newegg is their customer service is really good. So if you get something that's busted when you get it or something like that and you call them up and you go, hey, I got a bad thing and stuff like that, they'll take care of you.
The other thing they're pretty good about is if you buy something and it looks like the order looks a little suspicious, like you buy the wrong CPU for the socket, it's motherboard
exactly.
Then they'll say, hey, are you sure you wanted to do this? This CPU and this motherboard don't go together.
Oh,
but it looks like you're buying a PC that works together.
That will help an idiot like me.
Well, another thing is, I mean, of course, the thing we always recommend is that people post in the forums. When you get ready to do this, send your card over. And we'll kind of give it the once over and make sure that you're in good shape.
Sounds like a plan.
And we'll forward it to Lloyd. And
Lloyd will be like, well, actually, you should the hard drive is a little bit better.
That's the Jamie voice. You got to do the Jamie voice.
No, I didn't do the Jamie voice. That's the Lloyd voice.
You have to have your hand.
Oh, that's okay. Well, that's good. You just I'm not going to do the Lloyd voice. Lloyd's a wonderful guest.
He actually has a very good radio voice.
Lloyd has a better radio voice than any of the rest of us.
It's very smooth,
right?
Yes.
And he's very measured. Lloyd is unflappable.
That's true.
Patrick Norton has the best radio voice of any of us.
Patrick Norton never stammers. Patrick Norton is always – he says what he means from the very beginning of a – we had two Patricks on this year. That's the first time that's ever happened. Well, no, you weren't last year. Because you introduced the endurance run.
Yes, we announced the Chrono Trigger.
Oh, boy.
Announced
Brono.
Last year.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about last year. Let's see about
that's
this
a long time ago.
This year's already
– So, it's in the books, man. We got 20 –
Getting there.
We got 30 minutes left.
All right, let's talk about hour one. This started at 6 p.m.
We did a podcast. We crammed a normal episode of The Settlement's Only a Test, more or less.
Half of an episode. We went into Octobercast.
Do we talk about Apple stuff or Windows stuff?
We talk about Windows stuff first because you had the Surface.
Yeah.
So let me explain because we have like about 900 people in the chat right now. A lot of people coming into the very end. I think we came out better, aside from Gary not being here, than last year, just mentally.
I have to say, I am flabbergasted because
seem in better shape.
Flummoxed.
I saw you guys as it ended last year, and you guys seem mentally and physically in better shape.
Fairly early.
Despite the fact that I thought you were going to be worse, given that it's really 36 hours, not 24 hours.
Also, there's a lot of, like, you know, we started later, it was a little different. But going through the recap is a good thing to do because it's also a reminder for people of awesome things that happened.
Never forget.
During this past 24 hours. So now is the time to donate.
We there are 2,000 people watching right now, yeah. Every time we do something awesome, I hope if you have $10, every time we talk about something you think is awesome, just chuck $10 in.
That's right.
If you can.
If you
can.
Kids. Don't like not eat this week. Just to be clear. Like don't – if you are like, well, you know, we could get formula for the baby or we could give the – don't get formula for the baby. Get diapers, whatever. But
then whatever change you get back.
Yeah. If you're going to buy some stupid video games or something like that, that industry's cool. Like they're good right now. And you probably already have a bunch of games that you haven't played. I guarantee you there's a copy of Dark Souls that's just like – that's like 130 hours of pain and suffering and awesome. So you should lean into that. And I mean, those other games will be cheap in a couple of months anyway. That's the way that stuff works.
So in lieu of – we couldn't do obviously a video recap.
This podcast is brought to you by EA and Activision and Ubisoft.
This – what happened during Octobercast 2 – hour by hour, as we remember it at the end of Octobercast 2.
Yeah. What little we remember.
I know.
So
hour one.
iPad. We talked about
Giants might have just scored.
That
also,
seems like a that good thing. Right there.
The Giants also might.
That's
just
our
scored.
Early Giants warning system.
They're ahead of the MLB app.
You guys wanted to talk about iPad, and then we talked about Surface for a long time.
We talked about Surface. We just got in today. We actually did not talk about it much after. It's there.
We talked about it here and there.
More than
I think many people would have wanted, and less than others.
For about an hour.
Yeah.
Windows 8 for about an hour.
The consensus was the hardware is really compelling. It's a good first impression. The apps are lacking.
I like this keyboard.
Yeah. Gary had some really quick initial impressions. Everyone says initial
impressions. Snap judgments.
Snap judgments. Feels really good.
Yeah.
That touch cover, I think, has stopped working in the span of Octobercast.
I think we needed to reboot, actually. Maybe. And it picked back up.
That was hour one. Hour two, Roger Chang came in. The great Roger Chang of Revision 3. Thank you for coming in.
Last year,
we talked about space poop.
Yeah, like last year we talked about Star Trek and the fact that there's no toilets on Star Trek spaceships, except... So they have to. We weren't sure whether they've evolved no sphincter in that time, or if they beam the poop out. Like, what's the how is the waste removed?
We kind of lightly recapped that, but got really into a deep dive about public broadcasting in general.
Yeah,
and the quality of television,
like the entertainment surplus, and the
PBS,
world living in a world
TLC.
Of infinite entertainment and Honey Boo Boo, and where all that fits.
And
in.
And then we immediately shut that great discussion down because Ryan Davis ran in,
stormed the set,
sweating.
Really sweating a lot.
That never
and kind of had like 15 minutes to just like, hey, I'm Ryan Davis.
And then,
I'm here, guys.
And then Ryan and Roger were talking for a while. And that was like, it's kind of weird. The thing we don't do well on the show that I think we might want to try is like, I think we should do some guest mashups next time where we take two people that maybe don't know each other and just put them here and see what happens.
Ryan Davis talked about open sourcing his shirt.
Did you take notes?
No, I'm just going through the list. Shirt designs, so people want to make shirt designs.
Fuck Ryan Davis.
The ones that you guys sold.
Sure.
He won't sue them.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That was announced. And then he bailed.
He says it's cool to boot like that.
Yeah, it's cool to be clear.
Except for us. You can't for that, even for the kids.
Brad Muir then came in. We had only half hour.
Brad Muir talked a lot of smack about Microsoft.
He was
down hard. And I didn't understand why, but we'll look to that later.
No relationship to John Muir of Muir Woods.
And we found that out.
Okay.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Giants might have also just...
No, I think that was a police car.
Okay.
The police can be happy too, man.
Sure.
Police love the Giants.
And a lot of strong words about Microsoft.
And we talked a little bit about salute technology, dual hand salute, and we talked about some stuff that he can't talk about yet. And then we just kind of shot the shit for a while. Because, I mean, there's nobody better than talking to Brad Muir.
I don't remember what else we talked to him about.
I mean, we talked to a lot of people. Everybody was awesome, just to be clear. I'm not saying Brad Muir is better than all the other guests.
Okay,
but he usually is better than most.
He smiles so big.
Yeah, big smile.
So that's okay. That's an acceptable
After phrase. Brad came in, then we had three guests on the Idle Thumbs.
The Thumbs.
And we learned some Kickstarter.
Jake Rockin, Sean Vanneman, and Chris Riemann.
Yes, and we learned some great... It was like a podcast mashup.
Right.
And we learned some Kickstarter pro tips.
And all this time,
they've gone through it. Learned some hard lessons along the way.
We learned some behind-the-scenes Jeff Goldblum stories.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and the thing that they said is that they messed up the math. That had their Kickstarter not been such a huge success, they probably would have been in really bad shape financially as a result of it.
Yeah.
Because in order to fulfill all the stuff, then they would have fucked themselves really bad.
Yep.
And if they have one tip to give for aspiring Kickstarters, $50 price point for T-shirts.
Now that I know
$50,
they
said put a $50 tier in.
Mm.
Because people, if you make an awesome T-shirt for $50, people will buy it.
Right,
and I mean that is absolutely correct.
Sure.
The thing we also learned is that if you were a Kickstarter supporter, and I was, there's a special version of 50 Flights of Lovin' that I didn't know has a secret Goldblum mode where it's just Jeff Goldblum's wandering around.
Wait, really?
And holy fuck, the whole time we've been here, it's only in the Kickstarter reward one. So I'm going to go home and download that and then go to sleep and maybe play it tomorrow if I'm feeling human.
And they had a voice actor who just made the Jeff Goldblum creepy sound.
It's the guy who did the Marty McFly voice from Back to the Future.
Yeah, so remember those like videos? This guy did a really good impersonation of Marty McFly. He also could apparently do a really good impersonation of Jeff Goldblum doing the creepy laugh.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then we talked about which was the best Goldblum, and we decided that it was sometime after the Apple ads, but before
JP Goldblum.
Right.
It's just imperfections in the skin.
Idle Thumbs were great.
Mm-hmm.
The Thumbs are awesome.
Vinny Caravella came in.
We also talked about Remo's game.
Oh, yes.
The Cave.
Mm-hmm.
Because all this time, and then we talked about Walking Dead for a while, and it was a little awkward because all this time I was like, we're talking about Sean and Jake's game, and Remo's right here. I mean, he's still sitting here, and we're like, he has a game too, but is he on the adventure? And then we talked about that for a while. So we talked about Walking Dead, and we talked about their process, and then we talked about the cave for a little bit, and then we booted them off the set because the next people. This is the problem with doing our segments.
Sure,
guys came in at just the right time to get way more of us than you wanted. Just to be clear.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Vinny Caravella.
And Dad Hours. And Vinny Caravella. God. The one thing I'll take away from that
Gary and Vinny scaring the shit out of Will?
It was fucking terrifying.
Merconium?
Dude, that wasn't the worst part of the whole thing. The worst part of the thing was Vinny was like, so here's what you should do.
Yeah, Vinny's in a dark place.
You should
now
take all of the things that you love. And I was like, man, my things would be like playing video games and going to the bathroom in a leisurely pace,
sure,
and watching TV and spending time with my wife. You should write all these things
really
down on a list.
With the wife thing.
And writing all the things down on a list, and then you should burn that list.
Yeah.
And that is the experience of having a child.
And
I'm sure he talked about the cross country trip he just went on.
Yeah, he said don't travel with a child. Oh, and that was bad.
And fitting children in clothes.
When he came back into the office, bad mood.
That
Vinny.
Podcast was dark, Vinny.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so after Vinny was Scott Sorensen, who is
Sorensen, who is the Cameron operator for Jamie and Adam on MythBusters show. Came in to give us some insights about.
You say the camera operator. He's the main dude that
he's
very modest about it.
Very modest. He shoots like the blueprint scenes. He's lead camera operator on many of their episodes, and he talked about just devising the little bumpers. So if you watch an episode of the MythBusters, they'll have some non sequitur bumpers that will say, have a crazy effect, and they'll say "busted" or "MythBusters."
Yeah,
or,
and so a lot of his stuff, like when he has a free day, he just goes in and grabs a whole bunch of stuff that can explode or like fills a balloon with propane and then lights it on fire.
Yeah.
To see what happens.
That. We talk about high speed cameras with him.
Ooh.
It was good because I was starting to get a little manic at that point because I'd had a lot of caffeine.
One pro tip.
And he's real chill.
His one pro tip.
Super chill.
Don't use a condom. Use a glove because you get five fingers.
This is if you're filling something with black powder to make a small explosive charge.
I didn't
want
to clarify.
I'm for his sake. I'm
no clarifying. In all instances.
Yeah, five fingers, baby.
Five fingers.
This was a terrible quality of content coming from Oktoberfest.
So and then after that, Bill Doran, who is Chinbeard on Twitter, is the proprietor of Punished Props. He makes Mass Effect armor.
Yes, and we had a great discussion with him over Skype. And really sad that you guys couldn't see him talking on Skype, just about his whole process, how he turned his hobby of making video game prop replicas into a full-time job and getting commissions.
Oh, is this the guy we had on the Big Live show?
No, that's Harrison Crick.
No, that's Harrison
Crick. Different guy. Similar things.
Yes.
But Bill kind of looked at Harrison doing this for a living and was like, hey, if he can do this, I probably can too. Because I do different stuff than him, but like I can figure out a way to make this my job, and did. And we talked about that a lot, which I always find it super interesting to find people like Scott or Bill or I mean you guys, everybody here has pretty rad jobs, and the path that you took and everybody took takes is a little different, and like finding the commonalities in those stories is super duper interesting to me. So we talked to Bill about that at length.
He gave us some great insights about Peppercora and how he got started. Just building paper models and his process and some useful references online for people who want to build their own stuff. And also, he of course donated a Mass Effect Paladin pistol, which we auctioned for $1,100.
Yeah, holy crap. No, where is it?
I have a picture.
It's awesome.
Hey, you guys got to keep trucking. It's $549.
Yes.
We're doing good.
So, thanks to Bill. After Bill, Robbie Baldwin of Wired.com.
Robbie was a trooper. Robbie came in the wee hours last year. And,
oh, man.
He this year, we had a whole different kind of conversation.
Oh, it's branded, too?
Yeah,
it's slightly branded. Yes. Just ever
that's
so slightly
really cool.
Branded.
That's really cool.
Last year, Robbie worked for Gizmodo. Now he works for Wired.com. And him coming on the podcast this year gave us an opportunity to finish our tech discussion that we started, because we started off talking about the Surface and we talked about the Apple event for basically an hour.
I think Robbie was really looking forward to talking about living in the desert as a child. But the tech talk was pretty good,
too.
So
do you remember where he lives in the desert?
Tehachapi,
where we drove
to the
Detour
are.
on our way to drive.
No, that's the right way.
It's the detour on a way from 5 to...
No. Tehachapi is over the mountain where the ice was when we drove with Melissa.
To Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's... So right before you go up this hill out of the Central Valley of California, you get to Tehachapi. It's full of fucking windmills. Like, millions and millions. You think you've seen a lot of windmills before. You've seen nothing until you get to Tehachapi. And then you go over another ridgeline, and there's five times as many more windmills. It's like windmills upon windmills upon windmills. And you look, and you expect to see, like, little tiny windmills on the edges of the windmills.
Flashbacks
so many
to the
windmills.
Vegas drive 2 years ago.
And then you just go straight for, like, 3 hours through the desert. And somewhere on the edge of Barstow, the drugs begin to take hold. That's a different thing. But it's
Robbie was a great trooper.
Robbie is always good. Robbie came in at midnight, I think.
And he actually had, he brought his usual insight into Apple, because that's what he covers for Wire.com.
Yeah. Among other things. Also,
tech and general.
His
beat is
weird stuff. Yeah.
And then Alexis came in from a Halloween party, dressed as a trucker.
Oh, sweet.
With a handkerchief. Kind of drunk.
I thought he was.
I hope so.
I thought he was kind of
drunk.
He was a farmer.
Maybe it was a farmer.
He had a hat and overalls on. I don't know if truckers
wear overalls. I think he had mentioned farmer at the office before
he
left.
Okay, so yeah. He definitely had a handkerchief.
And he
overalls.
Wasn't totally sure at that point, like, I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm going to dress up. And I was like, you're probably going to do all those things.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be drunk. He's like,
And so Drew was supposed to come for that same segment too, but he was still driving back to Sacramento.
We're not ready for Drew.
We'll get to that
the
in a little
recap
bit.
Yet.
Patrick Norton.
Alexis.
How long?
The pizza.
Oh, you brought a pizza?
And we talked for about an hour with him.
Did he bring the pizza, or did the pizza get delivered while he was here?
I think he ordered the pizza. Because he was the one that ordered
No, that was Ian. Ian ordered the jalapeno.
Oh, okay.
But he
mentioned it.
Yes.
Alexis mentioned it.
We talked about it. It was delicious. It was a little spicy, high risk in
Drew
a 24-hour
situation. So Patrick Norton, the manliest man in tech, came
You've
in.
Never met Patrick Norton.
The old screensavers. And he brought his rugged phone. He talked about his rugby days, about living in New York.
He threw his phone across the room within like 3 minutes of getting here, just to be like, yeah, this case is totally badass. It's pink, but it's hard. And then hucked the phone over there in the corner. I was like, dude, you better go get that. You're
gonna
talk
about going to East Germany.
Yeah, that was after
Berlin.
So then in the middle of Patrick's segment, so Patrick comes in and he does the night shift because he's totally nocturnal. He is
right.
He has two kids. I thought he had like six kids. Who knew?
well, once you got two, might as well be six.
I mean, your man coverage at that point, and all bets are off. So we talked about. I don't remember what we talked about. We talked a lot about Amiga stuff for a little bit. And then Drew showed up about
Drew Scanlon came in from Sacramento.
Yeah, straight from Sacramento.
And he had one of the best stories of the evening. So he started off actually recounting his whole North Korea.
People have to watch this.
It's an amazing story. He's done it for Giant Bomb.
He retold
the story for us. He has his photos online. It was a great story about going to North Korea. Mm. And then he told this story. He had two stories, gold stories, about, and I don't want to spoil the story for Giant
Bomb.
Don't
spoil the story.
But it was a great story what he did earlier Friday night in Sacramento.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and listen to that.
So if you were there, donate, because it was worth it.
So that went until about 5, and then we built Lego. I triumphed in an episode.
We built
of
Lego,
Brent,
and it was an hour and a half that went by really quickly. At this point, we should also mention that Will was still in the tux.
Yeah, I was wearing tux this whole time. 6 a.m.
I'm a little disappointed that there's no tux. I thought this was a classy joint.
I went to the bathroom, and I realized that something in there smelled, and then I was like...
Lego could not have been more dramatic. Two different approaches to building. Will went to sort. I had a lead through maybe 85% of it. We stopped for a station ID re-record.
Yeah.
When we got back in, it was like the pace car. You know, in front of us.
Yeah.
Sprint at the very end.
My strategy was to go fast.
Then we thought we had
there was an error. I had an error on mine.
So we had a declared victory on my side. And then
who
we realized
the
mine, Gary.
Gary.
Officiated.
He's not impartial. He said he liked Norm better than me.
And then I realized I skipped a whole step. And,
oh, no.
And it was devastating. The
Norm's,
end.
Norm's Minecraft Lego is shorter than my Minecraft
right
Lego.
It is finished.
Is it fixed? Okay. I believe you.
So that was a mini brick, and we took one Skype phone call.
Yeah.
I wish we could, maybe two. I don't remember.
We took a couple of Skype. We talked to Fat Tony. We talked to Vivek. I can't remember Vivek's last
name. And then somehow got 7 o'clock.
So, 6:30. Well, what happened was.
So you're saying there's this giant blur.
No, no, no. What happened was Jeff was scheduled for 8, and he was like, I'm going to come in early if I'm up. And dude, Jeff is an early morning.
He gets up
at 6:09. He was like, yeah, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And he drove down from Petaluma, right, which is a long-ass way away.
That's a solid 40 minutes.
At that time of morning, is probably pretty fast.
Yeah, maybe more like half an hour. But still,
I think 40 minutes if you're going pretty fast, yeah.
And so Jeff came, and he told us about the raid.
Well, we talked about
the raid.
I think he thinks if he says it enough, it'll happen.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you a secret about Jeff. You may not have been around long enough to know this yet, but when he starts talking about things and giving it names that start with the definite article, then shit's about to get real.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know, the raid is his plan to go to Japan and do something awesome.
Yeah.
And then he also told us
it's,
about
it's
his,
going to happen. It's only a question of whether we can convince our company to pay for all of us to
that's
go,
the thing.
Or if Jeff is just going to go and have his own personal
raid. It might be just
raid.
Jeff and Vinny or Jeff and Drew with like a camera.
It's a heist.
So we talked about the raid. We talked about TurboGrafx. We talked a lot about gaming journalism, and there was some serious talk in there for a little bit about
The game Doritos
and shit like that. And we were like, we were 24 hours
Your gamer
out
and Doritos,
point.
Right?
Then Brad came.
Mm-hmm. Brad showed
and we
up.
Had both Brad and Jeff. Brad,
what did
bought,
he bring?
He bought pork buns.
Oh my god!
A big red box of pork buns, and also a clear bin of these steam buns that had chicken, mushroom,
sausage,
and also a hard-boiled egg.
We had a long conversation about what food he should bring in. Vinny and I had gotten pretty close to, I think, convincing him to bring in like day-old pizza.
I would have been day-old pizza.
I know.
At that point.
I know you would have.
We had pizza that
I know
night.
You would have.
I would have still been in for day-old. The thing about that. So the thing about like the amount of thought that Brad put into that was greatly appreciated because. I'm going to say those pork buns fueled. I haven't eaten any real food since the pork buns.
Well, the real
those,
question was like, where were you going to get decent food at that early in the morning?
It's like a donut shop or McDonald's, maybe, but they're probably not even open.
Not, like any bakery is not going to open until like 9.
Yeah. Brad was a real hero.
And Jeff loaned the mics. We have like the extra mics that we would have only been able to talk to one thumb at a time if Jeff had loaned us the old podcast mics. So thanks to Jeff.
So after Brad and Jeff left, Darren Gladstone came in.
We auctioned. We talked about. He's a new father as well.
Yes.
And Darren, you may know from GFW and among other things.
CGW, GFW.
Yeah.
Works for HP. He and HP donated a new laptop, a convertible Windows 8 laptop.
Right. Yeah.
Which we auctioned off for $1,100, and we'll do something awesome with that. We were running auctions throughout.
And Gladstone, we gave Gladstone the business. I'm going to go ahead and say,
I don't know what that is. That like five fingers?
No, we didn't use it. No gloves.
They didn't have any gloves.
Yeah, straight raw with Darren Gladstone.
I remember giving him the business, but I don't remember what it was about at this point.
What is that even?
So on Leave It to Beaver, which was a TV show in the 50s when you were negative like 70 years old.
About accurate.
When Eddie Haskell, who was the bad kid, would bother the Beaver, the nominal hero of the show, his older brother Wally would say, Eddie, stop giving the Beave the business. So the business affectionate teasing in this context.
Yeah.
In Eddie Haskell context, Eddie Haskell's a dick.
What were you teasing
about?
I don't remember.
Gladstone had a great story about his father-in-law.
Oh, shit, yeah. He almost stabbed his father-in-law with a sword.
Yeah.
That is an awesome story.
Yeah.
So
you have to rewatch that segment.
So we had an extended
story.
Conversation about whether he thought, as he was standing there about to stab his father-in-law before he realized
it got really dark.
If he could have actually
we talked
done
about
the stabbing.
Whether we all had the killer instinct.
Right.
What you would do when your back is pushed against the wall.
And Norm and I had a situation earlier this year where we had to hit each other in the face. And, like, it's hard to hit a person in the face.
Yeah. At the very last second.
There's no danger in
that.
Like,
I'm not saying that. I'm saying
what you have to overcome in that situation is much more difficult because Norm's not going to kill you.
No. But what I'm saying is when you're slapping someone in the face, there's some social pressure pushing in. When you're getting ready to stab a motherfucker, I got to think it's way more intense than not slapping Norm in the face. I don't think I ever got that point in the argument.
It's all in video.
But luckily, Darren didn't stab anybody, and we just gave him the business. And then he gave us a laptop to give away. So everybody wins. It's for the kids.
Don't stab the laptop.
Well, we're giving away some awesome footage right now, only on the live stream.
Oh, my God.
And then at 10 o'clock, we had...
that's it right there.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's
Adam Savage came on at 10 o'clock.
A fucking Mythbuster.
for an hour, and that's we had weird. A great talk about him building a Halloween costume for Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, that
we
was
talked
weird.
About insomnia or Ambien and how fucked up you can get on Ambien. He talked to get a great story about his wife on Ambien.
So the thing I didn't know about Ambien is if you're supposed to take Ambien when you're laying in bed with your head on the pillow,
yeah. right.
and no before, because if you do it before, then you're going to be like a crazy zombie
Ambien
monster.
Fucks you up.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea.
And you will fall and hurt yourself.
It seems real dangerous.
It is. It's a dangerous.
He did it. He.
Yeah.
Everybody, you have a look of glee in your eyes, Jason.
You got to watch the segment.
He's Ambien stories are.
It was the first time Adam's been in this office.
Google Ambien stories.
And he was kind of just looking around like,
yeah.
What have they really, done with this?
He was fidgeting with my heart.
My pictures on those. Where'd they get that?
He did a Jamie impression on camera.
Yeah. Yep.
So he was really great. Thanks so much to Adam. And then we had 2 full hours.
Poor Jeff Green.
Of Jeff Green.
Jeff Green hit the door, and all
that's
he could say
the
was,
headliner.
You fuckers didn't tell me I had to follow Adam Savage.
Yeah.
I was like, well, he was your opening.
So highlights from Jeff Green, because we're running out of time.
Jeff Green.
Yeah, 9 minutes.
Dude, Jeff Green just was Jeff Green. We gave him the business, too, about the games journalism thing.
We did an extended talk about games journalism.
Part.
It was a really good talk about his decision to go to PopCap.
Yeah.
We talked a little about PVZ. Then we got really dark.
To BVZ.
And we talked about his skull being a bong. The skull
right.
bong.
Like the fact that when he dies, he wants to have his skull turned into a bong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really weird.
He wants to be immortal.
Capped it off. So
we also talked about the succession plan for the bong, which is the best part.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Passing it down.
Yeah. And decorating and all that sort of thing.
A skull has way too many open spaces to be a proper bong. That would never work well.
No, I think you'd have to. It would have to just be the container for the bong.
Yeah,
it's like resin, and then something comes out of the mouth, or maybe the neck hole. I don't know.
Sure,
it's possible. Yeah.
And then we finished with Jeff doing something that looks so horrible on camera, involving pencils and his face.
Oh Jesus! He has a prehensile chin.
Those very pencils. Don't touch them.
I already touched them.
No, you shouldn't have.
They've been on his eyeballs.
You should. What does that even mean? What do you mean on his eyeballs?
Look, this part of your chin that's not supposed to move, he can make it come up and touch his lip. It was so weird.
I'm trying to do it.
He could just do it without touching his face.
You got to watch the video.
All right.
In the archive.
All right.
It was 2 scold hours.
It was
Jeff.
So bad.
Then we had a great, delightful conversation with Ryan Block of Gadget and Engadget, previous of Engadget.
We talked about everything from sleep deprivation.
Yeah, he had theories about sleep deprivation. He had a lot to talk about
conflict diamonds.
Yes.
Blood diamonds.
And then we got a good talk insight about live blogging and the Apple event, because he's actually used the iPad mini. I wish we could talk more about that.
I feel like if we wanted to talk about the densest hour of the 24, that was probably
intellectually
it.
And like
I was wrung out at the end of that hour.
I wanted more intense conversation about that
stuff. So you're saying we don't stimulate you enough?
The conversational equivalent of coffee.
Pretty much. Right. He brought coffee too. He went to Sightglass and brought us coffee.
Oh,
that's why you're
it was amazing.
Oh my god.
That was a good catch.
Oh man.
And then,
stop touching things.
Lloyd came and he brought
holy shit,
six board games.
We got 6 minutes to go, so you gotta spread this.
No, we gotta close it out.
Okay.
6 board games.
Just see what you're at so you can announce the...
Hey, tested.com/donate. You should...
This is your last chance before we announce the big number at the end.
We're not done with the number.
It'll keep going, but at the end of the broadcast, if you want to get your number in before the
number up.
So Lloyd, of course, brought his great board game charm. Some tips for people who want to get into board games.
First we talked about Surface, about Windows 8 a little bit.
Because he did the review for Windows 8. World.
Mm-hmm. And then Lloyd, when Lloyd comes and brings Show and Tell, and Lloyd brought the bag of infinite board game holding, because it was like a clown car of board games. They kept coming out more. I was like, hey, so the other day we were talking about a game that's like eminent domain, but he was like, oh yeah, I have that one in here too. And it was just like there was this game that was enormous with these cool steampunk flying ships and miniatures and turn-based hex-based strategy.
D&D style RPG book.
Yeah, for the Charles Strauss Laundry books, which are amazing. Everybody should read those.
Yes, a lot of cool stuff. Then
8 board games.
We're catching up
to
the present. We're catching up to the now.
How far away are we?
Well, we're in the past.
Okay.
This is space.
Then Jason. Jason, you
arrived.
You arrived, and we talked tech also.
Yep. Hold on. We talked about XCOM with Lloyd. I finally got to fucking talk about XCOM.
You talked with XCOM
all day. I wanted to talk about XCOM.
Great. I beat that.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's very good.
Great. Jason, thank you for sticking to the very end. Yeah.
No sweat, actually.
You're an honorary Gary Whitta at this point. Congratulations.
Well, yeah. At that point, Gary didn't have to go.
I'm a poor substitute, but I'm happy to fill it.
Then
Joey did 1,000 push-ups.
Well, Patrick came here first. Patrick's here. And you're still here.
Did.
And
I'm got the closer.
The opportunity.
That's just my role with Octobercast.
No. You're the
Romo. You're our Romo.
Yeah.
And we showed you the window from Oceanic Flight 815.
That's right.
And we talked horror movies.
Oh, man.
Talked about horror movies.
We talked about horror movies. Lost that was like 3 hours ago.
We talked about 24 and Jack Bauer and Kiefer Sutherland.
Horror movie stuff. That and podcasts, I feel like I have some stuff I can leave here and check out.
I got stuff on my fingers from that. I'm not going to wash this hand.
You shouldn't.
I'm going to put this on me.
We had a good Kiefer Sutherland story. Two of them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Joey then accomplished his feat of strength.
Do you want me to take a picture of you with it right now?
Of 1,000 push-ups, guns for kids, huge success. Then we got into our last hour. Chloe Bananas made a surprise appearance.
It's true.
Joey came on the podcast.
Ate everything on the floor.
And
she didn't need anything, I don't think. She just
and then we gave Patrick some PC building advice. And then we recapped the podcast.
Yeah. And then you told me not to recap the podcast yet. And then you told me we had to go faster.
And now we're here.
And Joey did 1,000 push-ups, dude.
Yes.
Joey did 1,000 push-ups.
A little more than 1,000 push-ups.
And okay. So this is the point. Can I thank people now?
Start thanking people.
In Spaceballs when we're there here?
Yeah.
This is now.
It's the present. We need a camera behind us to do the... Whatever's happening here now is happening now. I'm sure that with the TriCaster, this can happen somehow. We learned about the TriCaster tonight. The TriCaster is a magical instrument. We learned about the video toaster. We had a wonderful time. Thank you so much to all of our guests. I'm not going to go on the list again because we literally just did it, but I'm going to read it right now. Roger Chang, Brad Muir, The Idle Thumbs, Jake Rodkin, Sean Vanaman, Chris Remo, Vinny Caravella, Scott Sorensen, Bill Doran.
Dark Vinny.
Bill Doran is an amazing dude. I'm so glad we got to talk to him. Roberto Baldwin, Robbie Baldwin. His nom de plume is Roberto, but everybody calls him Robbie. Alexis Gajasa. Who's next? Patrick Norton. Patrick Norton, really, like 2 a.m. is Patrick Norton's. He's prime time then. They should record Techzilla at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Roger Chang is going to kill me for suggesting that. Drew Scanlon has now been here twice. So thank you, Drew. Lego for providing Mini Bricked. Gary Whitta for narrating the Mini Bricked. Calls Brad Shoemaker, Jeff Gerstmann. Where are we?
Darren Gladstone, Adam Savage,
Jeff Green, Ryan Block, Lloyd Case, Jason Cross, and of course Jason Cross, Patrick Kleppert, Norm.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you so much,
Gary. Thank you, Gary. Watching
Ian. I'm sorry. I'm at the point in the day where I'm incapable of remembering names. But the Sam and of course Joey.
Sam
and Richard,
Ian, Richard, Wes.
Ian, everybody who's been helping in the control room all night. You guys, kept us kind of fed and watered and made sure that people got in and out. And really hard last year, it turns out, because we didn't have anybody to do that. So thank you guys so much.
Funranium Labs. Donating the Stein of Science.
So people who donated stuff.
Bill Doran.
Bill Doran. Funranium Labs Phil.
I don't remember his last name.
Oh, God, I can't remember. I feel like a total asshole. Who else donated stuff? HP and Darren. Darren did a lot of legwork to make sure that we got
you
that HP lab to happen. I downloaded that from Thingiverse. Emmett designed it, and it's a modified design of something else. And then I printed it thanks to Krylon.
And thank you to you watching the podcast right now.
You guys. Is it time for the
everyone
big total?
Who donated? We have
the total time.
Reached 24 hours.
24 hours.
And as of right now, I think we have $26,000 donated. We're going to leave.
Wow.
We're going to leave it up running until November 16th.
Yeah, it'll
and
be up for a while.
The entire archive will be up on YouTube and untested.
Probably this week.
This week,
goal.
In both video and podcast form, in audio form.
Yeah, that's real optimistic.
Is the goal?
Do what we can.
And in higher quality than the streams.
Yeah, we should have 720p if everything went well.
And that's it, 24 hours.
Is that 24 hours exactly now?
That is 24 hours.
No, one more minute by my clock.
One more minute.
So,
oh my God, it's the longest minute of my life.
just sit here in silence.
Sit here quietly.
Silence.
Just quietly for 1 minute.
24 hours. $26,279.
Norm, can't take the silence. At this point. Norm, you drove. How are you getting home?
I'm getting a ride back.
You can't drive.
Yes. I'm not driving back.
Am I driving you back?
No, you're not driving back.
Is Gina driving you back?
No.
Okay.
You can't drive.
No shit, I can't drive. We are at $26,279.48. There's still several auction bids to come in, and I'm so... You guys are an amazing community and do amazing stuff every year.
Child's Play Charity.
Thank you guys so much. And if you want to donate, it's tester.com/donate. That's the last time I have to say that for like a year, so that's pretty awesome.
Child's Play Charity.
Childsplaycharity.org for more info.
Yeah,
for more
info. It's tax deductible in the U.S. or in Canada against U.S.-based income, it turns out. We learned a lot about tax deductions this year.
Yeah.
So people who earn money, and I think that's probably a real limited case.
Sure.
But yeah, so there we go. It's 209. We will see you guys later. This is Octobercast 2012. Bye.
No, it's not. It's not anymore.